Good Monday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. The cold weather continuing. Boy, was it cold this weekend. Well, I think we've been dealing with it for a week now. Looks like come Wednesday, 16 for the high. I mean, 16 isn't exactly warm, but 16 is better than what we've been seeing. My dog doesn't even want to go outside yet, so we shall see. Big game James McCarty in Frisco, Texas. We'll be hearing from him throughout the morning. He's previewing the FCS championship game. Our Vikings couldn't get a win, but hopefully the Bison can. Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been two long months, over 2 months. My partner, Jace Denman, back in the saddle again. Welcome back, partner.
Thanks, Bonnie.
We have missed you.
That's what I've heard.
Oh, my goodness. You got a new heart. Obviously, things are doing well enough that you decided you'd come back, at least on Bonnie and Friends, for starters here.
Yeah, it's starting back up with the talking part before any kind of production and other stuff that we do around the station. So, you know, baby steps, and it was one of those things where we got back home middle of last month, and I've been home for, it must be almost 3 weeks now, and it's kind of like, well, I'm not doing anything
now
at home.
I'm just
sitting here watching my streaming shows and watching sports and just kind of laying around the house. So
heart transplant day before Thanksgiving.
Yep, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. I was lucky enough; it only took a week on the waiting list before I got.
You were very fortunate. Yeah, a lot of people wait a lot longer than that. But I think your age and your health, because you are a healthy guy. Like, you worked out a lot.
Yeah, I was working out 2 to 3 times a week, you know, especially getting my cardio and a little bit of weightlifting, because after you're, you know, age 50, you need to get those weights in just because you want to be able to keep that muscle mass. Mm-hmm. So compared to a lot of people that are in for heart transplants, number one, I was in better shape than them. Number two, honestly, they're usually about 20 years older than me.
Yeah.
You know, they're late 60s, early 70s. So I had that going for me as well. So the process of getting through a lot of the different things kind of was quicker than a lot of heart transplant patients, but getting to that point was still a journey in itself, because the first week I don't remember anything.
Yeah.
I mean, and I asked my wife a couple times what happened, because I didn't know what happened, and to come to, you know, read the medical charts and hear stories from everybody, see what my mom wrote up, because she was basically keeping a diary every day as to what happened. I mean, it was kind of mind-boggling to say the least.
Yeah, you had angels looking out for you. You had thousands and thousands thousands of listeners and people across the region, people across the nation who were out there praying for you. And
I mean, on my stops that I've had over my years, I used to go down to Lawrence, Kansas to see friends. I lived there for a summer. I lived in Tucson. I lived in California. Short stay in Georgia for training for my previous career, and then back up here. So yeah, there were people all over the country that at least heard my story, found out my story. I mean, just even the place that James and I go to get our haircut at Blush, I mean, they would circle him and ask what was going on with me. So it was a big deal when
everybody
I was able to get my haircut
MSUM,
there.
All the force, all of our listeners. I mean, people were continuing to reach out and continuing to pray for you. And I think your dad even had a visit from Grandma Denman.
No, it was Aunt Cindy.
Was it Aunt Cindy that said that you were going to be okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you just wanted to visit Grandma Denman, was it?
Supposedly, my aunt told my dad, not once but twice in dreams, that I was going to be okay. She told me it wasn't my time and that I just wanted to see Grandma and Grandpa. And it makes sense, because my Aunt Cindy, for those obviously wouldn't know, she passed away in December of 23, and she had basically kind of gone nonverbal. She had some health issues that caused this kind of progression, this decline, to go from what looked like was going to be the next coming of my grandmother, with this outgoing personality and wanting to get the family together and just, you know, just sit down, I'll go get you something to eat and do this and do that. She's just all over the place, right? Mm-hmm. And so when that happened over the course of 5 to 10 years, she just declined. And then I remember seeing her at my cousin's wedding, and, you know, my Uncle Don was like, "This is Jace. Do you remember him?" And she just kind of shook her head. So she became nonverbal and only kind of remembered those that were closest to her, like her husband, her kids, her siblings, right? And so for her to be the one talking to Dad makes perfect sense, because my grandma, my Aunt Cindy would have been like, you know, Grandma or Mom, just sit down. I'll go talk to Ron. Mm-hmm. So it kind of makes perfect sense.
That's
awesome. My aunt is back up in heaven, up moving around talking, and she's the old Aunt Cindy that I knew and loved for many, many years. So,
well, we believe in the power of prayer.
Yeah,
look at you today. All right, I'm glad to have you back.
Oh, I'm glad to be back.
Truly, truly, I'm glad.
Well, somebody needs to fix these TVs.
Bonnie doesn't know how to run the TVs. I know how to turn them on, and then they're good. So, yeah, and the game, James McCarty, as I mentioned, is in Frisco. Yep. Jace will be covering some of our early morning sports, and then Jimmy will be checking in with us coming up a little bit later. Fire destroyed a garage in West Fargo yesterday afternoon. The fire in the 1000 block of 4th Avenue East was reported just before 5. Firefighters battled the blaze in single-digit temperatures with a wind chill of 15 below. They managed to save the attached house. The cause of the fire is under investigation. A driver connected to a hit-and-run in Fargo is under arrest. Police say 22-year-old Audrey Berg of Fargo was driving a vehicle that hit a pedestrian at Broadway and 2nd Avenue North January 1st. The pedestrian suffered serious but non-life-threatening injuries. The vehicle fled the scene, but Flock system cameras identified the license plate. Two men found guilty in a northern Minnesota human smuggling case have filed paperwork to have that verdict reconsidered. Lawyers for Hoshkumar Patel and Steve Shandl filed motions in U.S. District Court in Fergus Falls on Friday. Federal jury found the men guilty in November, but their attorneys claim there was not enough evidence to convict the two. They want the court to grant new trials or acquit both men of the charges. The two are supposed to be sentenced in March. Governor Kelly Armstrong is set to announce the appointment of the person who will fill a vacant position on the Public Service Commission. The vacancy will fill Julie Fedorchik's seat on the three-person commission. Fedorchik was elected to Congress in November and sworn in Friday as North Dakota's sole member of the U.S. House of Representatives. She had served on the PSC since 2013 and was reelected to a six-year term in 2022. The person appointed by Armstrong to fill the PSC seat will serve until the November 2026 general election, which will determine who serves the remaining 2 years of the term through 2028. The appointment will be announced in a press conference at 2 this afternoon. You might have noticed gas prices have gone up a bit. AAA says the average price for regular unleaded in North Dakota is $2.80 a gallon. Fargo's gas prices are averaging $2.65, though some spots are a bit lower. The national average is $3.07. Oklahoma continues to have the lowest average gas prices in the nation at $2.57 a gallon. Governor Tim Walz is being sued by state Republicans over the scheduling of a special election for a Minnesota House seat. The Republican Party says Walz jumped the gun by setting the date for the District 40B election for later this month. Sue claims the election can't be scheduled until after the legislature has been in session for 22 days. Next session of the legislature begins January 14th. Walz criticized the move, saying in a statement that Republicans are trying to use the courts to prevent Democratic lawmakers from being seated. And a new Minnesota license plate with a very retro feel has been very popular during its first year. State Drivers and Vehicle Services Division reports that more than 256,000 blackout license plates were sold last year. The year-end numbers greatly exceeded expected sales, about 160,000 plates. Six other new plates were introduced last year with the new Minnesota Vikings design, proving to be the second most popular. Just under 5,800 of those plates were sold. Jace Denman back in action. Hey, way to fix the TV so I don't have to look at myself talking.
I know. It's like step one when you get in the office here,
Bonnie. I'm pretty impressed. I can hit power and get the TVs
turned on.
That's
true. They were on, so it made my job easier.
Well, and you're a typical man. You're just very comfortable with a remote in your hand.
Exactly.
Anyway.
I got to have the channel on my channels. Otherwise, it's just not going
to
work.
I've had to watch the same channel for 2 months already.
One was just on a screensaver. All right. Last night, as many Vikings fans know, I didn't manage to make it through the whole game.
I went through the third quarter and then I gave up.
When it went 31-9, I finally just turned it off and tried to get some sleep before coming in this morning.
Yeah.
The Lions won 31-9. They win the NFC North. They take the NFC's number one seed. Vikings were in the red zone four different times. They got two field goals and twice they went for it on fourth and goals. Did not make it in the end zone. Detroit's defense, although really banged up, played really well. Sam Darnold struggled, completing only 18 of 41 passes for 166 yards.
He was overthrowing. Like,
yeah,
it
he
like
was.
He was missing his marks.
He was, and there was a couple, I mean, that sailed on him, and there was pressure being put on him by the Lions, which
big time.
Was kind of surprising, like I said, with their banged up defense, although they did get a linebacker last night back for the Lions, which I think helped them a lot. Ivan Pace Jr. Led the Vikings defense with 10 tackles. Jahmyr Gibbs, the Detroit Lions running back who has taken the bulk of the carries since his running partner David Montgomery went down with an injury. He had 23 carries, 139 yards, Three touchdowns. I think he had a fourth touchdown receiving. He did. He caught five passes for 31 yards and a touchdown. Lions have a bye week in the opening round of the postseason. They should play the winner of the 4-5 matchup, which will be the Vikings and the Rams. And that game will be on Monday night, January 13th, kickoff slated for 7 p.m. on ESPN. You can head over to ESPN to see all the other matchups. I know my Buccaneers, they got a win yesterday to qualify for the playoffs. And the Rams, with sitting all their guys, lost. So the Buccaneers will be hosting the Commanders on Sunday Night Football. So that is exciting for me, except for the Bucs play terrible at nighttime games. So
well.
It's like, hey, we're in the playoffs. Oh, we got to play at night. Bummer. Yeah. All right. On the PGA Tour, Hideki Matsuyama set a course record winning the tournament after shooting 35 under for the weekend. He took home $3.6 million in the win. Colin Morikawa took second at 32 under, while I don't know how I pronounce it. I haven't heard of him yet. Took third at 29 under. Tom Hoagie finished the weekend tied for eighth at 23 under. He pocketed a ho-hum $550,000 in prize
love
money.
That.
Mm-hmm. Tour will stay in Hawaii for the Sony Open in Honolulu beginning on Thursday. Timberwolves are welcoming the Los Angeles Clippers to Target Center tonight. Tip scheduled for 7. Minnesota stumbling right now. They are at 17-17. Not like looking doom or gloom, like they're not going to make the playoffs or anything, but they need to find their chemistry because they don't have it right now. Clippers 20-15 on the season. Fargo Force split a weekend road trip. They fell to Sioux City 3-1 on Saturday night, but they rebounded on Sunday with a 7-4 victory over Des Moines. College football playoffs, the FBS playoffs, number 6 Penn State is going to take on number 7 Notre Dame in the Orange Bowl on Thursday. Friday, the Cotton Bowl features Texas, the 5th seed, versus number 8 Ohio State. And of course, folks, remember, these are the seeds. If you look at the national rankings, they're a bit different. Golden Gopher basketball, men are playing tonight at 8 p.m. on Fox Sports 1 against Ohio State. Yesterday, Minnesota defeated Illinois in women's basketball 68-61. Coach Dawn Plitzowitz, who once upon a time was the head coach of the University of South Dakota, she notched her, what was it, her 400th win, I believe, all
there
time.
Nice.
Morehead Spuds Athletics on WDAY Radio with Larry Knutson. Tomorrow, it's going to be a boys hockey versus Bemidji at 6 p.m., followed up on Thursday with girls hockey versus Bemidji at 6 p.m. And then tonight, the game that everybody here locally is waiting for, top-ranked Montana State takes on North Dakota State, 6 p.m. on ESPN. So be sure to tune in for that. It should be a great game between two very good teams. And then tonight, right here on WDAY Radio from 6:30 to 8 p.m., you can tune in to Track Talk with Jason Berg. He'll get you up to speed on everything happening in the local racing scene.
You didn't even miss a beat. Have you been practicing since you've been gone for over 2 months here?
No. It's just what I do.
Yeah, it is what you do. And Fargo Force in town this weekend.
That's
so
correct.
Sometime this week here on Bonnie and Friends, we'll have tickets to give away. Both.
We
for the-
have Friday and Saturday night games. We've got the Force hosting Des Moines at 7:05 on Friday, so we'll have tickets for that. Probably do that hopefully Wednesday, and then Thursday we'll give away tickets for Saturday night's game, also against Des Moines, but that is a 6:05 puck drop, so make sure you know what time they start.
There you go. All right, another cold day. The winds, however, will be light. A few flurries possible tonight. Cold weather will stick around through Tuesday before we finally see the warmer temps, and it's not like nothing to write home about. It's not going to be amazing, but much better than what we've been seeing. Partly sunny today, 6 above for the high, southwest winds 5 to 10, dropping down to 9 below for the overnight low. Partly sunny, 6 above our high tomorrow, north-northwest winds 5 to 15, the low of negative 3, and then Wednesday, warmer, partly sunny, 16 for the high temp.
Technically, it is warmer.
I suppose we drop down to, I think, 9 below, you know, over the weekend. So 25 degrees warmer, something like that, give or take a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, it is January, so we can't complain a whole lot. 7 below right now here at our WDAY radio studios. And look at you wearing your short sleeve shirt. You and Ronnie in your short sleeves.
Yeah, well,
I'd be so cold with short sleeves.
I was trying to decide what to wear, but I knew I had my station vest that I could put on and stay warm. So that's what I did.
Well, it's always warm and fuzzy in the studio and on the radio.
Well, except for when I was gone, there was several days that it seemed like the heat was not heating here in the studio.
Well, first of all, it started with the heat was heating too well. It was like 76 degrees. I think that started in Thanksgiving, and then it kind of went on, and then it got cold in here. Oh, my gosh. I think we were down to like 63 degrees a few days.
And especially if it's 63 degrees and, you know, like downstairs yesterday in my family room, where the fireplace is, the remote said it was 64 degrees down there.
Yeah.
So you turn it on and it heats it up, right?
Yep.
So that is, there's that. But if you're in the studio, which a lot of times we're in the studio talking, but you're still sitting still,
mm-hmm.
it can even be like 68 or 69. And if you're just sitting still, like even my last job, you're sitting at a desk, you get cold because you're not moving around.
Yeah,
so
get that. Mm-hmm. I'm usually moving so much that I stay about the same temp.
Well,
however, Jace is only sitting, what, about 4 feet away from mm-hmm. me? And it is colder because you're facing, I guess, more of the north.
More the
window
windows. Or, yeah, it could be, yeah.
So it's kind of crazy to think just a mm-hmm. 4 foot difference that you actually feel colder on that side.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's good to have you back.
Good to be back.
You bet. 5:16, we're going to get some national news in for you guys and a question of the morn and a song of the morn coming up. 5:21, Monday morning, we are back together again. Jace Denman, back on the air. He is the important part of the show. He is the and
I'm the
part.
And I hold everything together.
I have missed you. We have all missed you so much. Your friends and coworkers, as well as your friends through the radio. Many, many of us missing you. We're glad mm-hmm. you are back. All right, question of the morn. How are you feeling now that all the holiday festivities have wrapped up? Phone lines are open. If you want to talk to Jace, you can certainly do that too. 701-293-9000. You can email us, studio@wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. 5:26, Monday morning, back together again. Jace Denman is back after his successful heart transplant day before Thanksgiving.
Minor surgery, you know.
It's a major surgery.
Yeah.
And I'm just so thankful and grateful to have you back in the mornings because I thought when you came back that you didn't want to get up early and work with me, that you were just going
to
do
No,
sports.
I wanted to work with you. I just was hoping they would reschedule it.
Maybe put my show on at 9, 10 o'clock or something like that.
Yeah, you know, 9 a.m., 10 a.m., something like that. Something a little more, you know, I could sleep in a little bit more to get my beauty sleep.
Well, you look good. I mean,
thank you.
It looks like you got your beauty sleep. You don't need any more beauty sleep.
Oh, I could use a lot more. Some dark circles and bags under my eyes, you know. Yeah. It is like, you know, 2:30 in the morning right now.
Yeah, well, it's 5:30.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, it's 5:30.
But you've been dabbling a little bit with sports. You, in fact, did a fan cam with James on Friday.
Yeah, he wanted to do it, and he was just going to do it like over Zoom or over a recorded FaceTime or whatever he had planned. And I was just like, you know what? I could just run in and do it with him because then I think the audio would be better.
Mm-hmm.
And so came in, got to see you and James and a few others that I hadn't seen yet. And then we just recorded that quick just to get that so that way we kind of have a little preview of tonight's game, at least from, you know, my opinion. But yeah, I came in and did that, got a couple other things squared away for work, like getting the email and everything else, you know, back working again. And
there's a lot when you've been gone over 2 months.
I mean, thankfully JT's been keeping an eye on my email.
That's awesome.
As far as what stuff comes in, you know, for that needs to be produced, et cetera. So, that was all taken care of. But, it was one of those things where, coming back, you know, obviously being on the radio and talking is going to be right in my wheelhouse, I should say, just for the simple fact that, you know, we get to sit here and talk. You know, it's not like we're out digging ditches in the, you know, -7 degree weather like we have this morning. So, you know, it's something where it's not like you're not okay to come back and do this job. It'd be different if I was at my last job working for the government where, you know, I'd be on temporary restricted duty or, you know, mm-hmm. I'd probably be on it for better part of a year. So
I think we have you on restricted duty from your sports calls because you guys get so amped up in your heart rates. We're going to ease you into your sports.
There might be some games I'm going to make.
You will.
But you know, like the Winona one, probably not. That's no, 5 hours.
Yeah,
you know,
but you're going to get there. You're going to get there with the sports. So he's breaking himself in. We'll see how tired you get.
Maybe
he'll have to leave at 6 because he's sleepy. But so far, he's looking good.
My best sleep is usually come between 6 and 8 a.m. for some reason, Bonnie, just so you know. So if I'm over here going...
If you're snoring.
Yeah, exactly, with my mouth open.
Kind of like Jimmy in the deer stand, give you a little poke in the
exactly.
ribs.
You're on. Oh, okay.
Justine in the Facebook Messenger welcoming you back. Eleanor also said, welcome back. We missed you. Continued good health. Mm-hmm. Dave and Eleanor on that. How are you feeling now that all the holiday festivities have wrapped up? Our phone lines are open, 701-293-9000. Or if you want to talk to Jace, that's the way you get a hold of him. You can email us, studio@wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. We go to the phone lines. We find our friend Polly in Idaho. Good morning to you, Polly.
Good morning. Welcome back into the booth.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, lots of prayers are sent upstairs for you.
Yep. I mean, there's been so many people praying for me. It's been amazing, especially since the fact that I'm living proof they work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. That is proof that they work. I think most of the people that pray for me is for my demise.
Oh, I don't know about that, Polly.
Yeah, you might get excited inside the booth when you're doing your sports.
Yeah, just a little.
I want to mention that, you know, coming up probably within a month, I can't remember the exact date, but you can look it up, be the AT&T, where you get to watch golf in the United States of America, not in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And it's played in California and Pebble Beach, and it's a great tournament. It used to be known as the Big Crosby Pro-Am, and it's a fun one to watch this time of year, you know, especially when you're talking about 7 below 0.
Yeah.
Like you guys are having today.
Yeah, it's definitely cold. My dog doesn't even want to go outside.
That's just, I don't know, that's criminal.
Yeah, I tried to, because he wouldn't go out to go to the bathroom, so I thought, oh, I'll just walk him a little bit. We walked to the corner, we walked back. My face was red. Yeah. And that was like the warmer part of the day when I think we hit 0 or something. But with the wind chill, it's like 15, 20 below.
Yeah. And my poor Luna, I mean, she's got to go outside to go to the bathroom. And obviously there's a lot of landmines in the backyard since I was basically gone for 2.5 months. But that's a different story. But, yeah, she's got to run out there. She doesn't mind the cold so much because she's part St. Bernard.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't want her out there very long, especially when it's so cold. Because I think at some point, didn't we have like minus 13 or something like that?
Probably, yeah. I would say at least 10 below, if not colder. Yeah, my Chicago dog isn't used to this cold.
I know,
usually
exactly.
Has it a little bit warmer.
He's probably like, what the heck?
Yeah. Well, we're tickled pink that you're back out in the world again. I felt so bad for you. You're powerless in that situation where you're just laying in bed, and you got to do what the doctors tell you to do because you don't know what to do, even if you tried to do something different.
Yep.
And been there, but I haven't been to where you went to with surgery. But yeah, that's amazing that you're out and about. And do you have a new ticker?
Yes, I do.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You could probably live another 40 years. You take care of yourself.
Well, that's the hope. That's for sure. I mean, it'll be dependent upon a number of things. I know what the normal life expectancy is for a heart transplant recipient, but like I said earlier in that first segment, I think a lot of heart transplant recipients are probably 20 years older than me. So I don't know if that'll give me more time since I'm younger. But there are some issues that come up with heart transplants that they got to keep an eye on, you know, with some of the arteries not necessarily getting plugged with plaque, but they kind of get constricted. So there's certain things that'll have to be kept an eye on by the doctors down in Minneapolis. But, you know, I'm hoping that since there was a device that helped me get to the point where I could get the heart transplant, that it didn't exist 5 years ago. So I'm hopeful that the medical community will continue to have innovations in the next 5, 10, 20 years that could obviously help prolong my life to a ripe old age.
No, was that the Mayo Clinic that you were in?
Nope, I was at one of the other places. I mean, there's three places in Minnesota that are very good heart transplant. Obviously, number one, a lot of people think of Mayo Clinic in Rochester. There's the University of Minnesota down in the Twin Cities, but I was at Abbott Northwest in Minneapolis.
Which is also one of the top heart hospitals.
It is. Yeah. Yep, it was one of the top heart hospitals, so I had every faith in the staff there. And coincidentally, my grandfather in 1976 was there for a triple bypass, which was a big innovative surgery back in the time.
Interesting. Well, Polly, thanks for calling in, and thanks for your well wishes for Jace.
Okay, the answer to that question. I'm glad they're over for now.
There you go.
They'll start back over with the Christmas or the Halloween decorations, and then we'll move on again.
No doubt. Take care, Polly. 5:33. We got another phone line here. Good morning, friend. Who's this?
David.
Hi, David. How are you this morning?
Great. Just wanted to call and welcome Jace back. Okay. Way to go, buddy. Wow.
Thank you, David. It's good to hear your voice again.
Good to hear you too, Jace. You are something else, buddy. Not everybody that survives a heart transplant.
No, not everybody survives the massive heart attack I had either, which is really, really kind of amazing to hear everything that happened prior to even heading down to the city. So,
yeah. Well, good job, buddy. Glad to hear you back on the radio, and take care.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, thanks, David. Yeah, we all missed you. And like I said, you have so many people that were praying for mm-hmm. you and continuing to pray for you. Yep. And forward progress is good to hear.
One day at a time. I mean, that's the funny thing is I had a buddy from high school, Bonnie, came and saw me a couple times. We graduated together in our massive class of 8.
Mm-hmm.
And he came and visited a few times. And one of the times he brought me a book, and it's called Hunting Discomfort, and I forget the author's name. But the funny thing is that I had told my buddy Jeremy that the phrase popped into my head, the only way out is through, which is, you know, just doing what the doctors told me, taking it day by day. You're going to have to go through this to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the book that he gave me, the author is the one that came up with that phrase.
Mm.
So it was weird that that phrase popped in my head before Jeremy gave me the book that
wow.
day at the hospital. So, you know, and that's true with a lot of things in life. The only way you're going to get out of something or move to the next state
yep.
phase of something is you have to go through it. So mm-hmm. I'm thankfully a patient person as it is, although I like to kind of get things a little earlier, get things done sooner. Like if you got a car loan, I want to pay it off sooner rather than just taking your time on it and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I'm normally a patient person. So, I mean, the longest wait was that last week when we were sitting in this WASI building where they let us stay for a week while I had another biopsy and some other blood
before
draws.
Before they released you.
Before they
home.
Let me go
yeah.
home, go home. I was released from the hospital mm-hmm. and we would have been at home had we lived only an hour away.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, you know, this whole thing really taught me even more so to be patient and just
listen to your body. Yeah. You were really mm-hmm. good about that. I mean, this yeah. is the biggest thing that you've ever dealt with in
yeah.
your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And you were very wise
yep.
to just go through the process,
yep.
listen to the doctors,
yep.
listen to the nurse, listen to your body,
yep.
not try to push things.
Mm-hmm. And it was just like, you know, what do you want me to do or whatever? And then just, well, we're going to do this. Okay. I mean, we're going to put this device in, which they put it in at first when I had a VTAC episode in one of the other rooms, and they gave me this device, and they were just like, you know, we're going to put this in. This is going to help, and, you know, are you okay with that? And because you got a consent to it, and I'm like, yep, whatever you guys mm-hmm. think. I mean, I'm not an expert at it. The funniest part.
That's what your dad yeah. had told me when I was talking to your dad. Jay said, let's do it.
Yeah.
We need this heart
yep.
transplant. Let's get it done.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny because everybody there was just like, oh, we heard that you got a heart, and so you're going to, you know, get it. Are you excited? I was excited. I was nervous. I felt for the family that lost their loved one that
yeah.
was going to give me
yeah.
the heart. There's so many feelings. And I'm just like, I don't even know how to feel at this point in time. And they're all excited. That's because they've done over 500 of them at
yeah.
that hospital.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just like, I don't know. You just tell me what to do, when to go down to the OR and go to sleep for
well,
a while.
Well, there really
up.
Was no option. I mean,
yeah.
you wanted to live, and that isn't living if you're hooked
no.
up to tubes and you've got a pump, you know,
yeah, and the
keeping you alive.
The biggest problem with my heart, though, is that it had enough damage after the heart attack that it would get out of rhythm. And so there was this flutter, and you'd feel lightheaded. And the first time when I didn't have that impeller, and I passed out, and they had to, you know, resuscitate me once again. But once I had that impeller thing in, then I was at least awake through this VTAC mm-hmm. episode, and I had at least a couple of those while I was waiting for, you know, heart
I
transplant
I counted
list.
About 11 overall, if my math was right for you.
Could be. Well, although the one I had, once I had the impeller, I think I was fine. They just had to shock my heart back into rhythm and give me some medicine.
Just had to shock his heart. He was
yeah.
fine. Don't worry about it.
Well, I was awake through it. They actually had to give me just
know,
a little something to put
to
me to
shock your heart. That's
put,
still.
They had to put me to sleep for just a minute, shock the heart, and then they woke me up. So, I mean, I wasn't even out for very long.
But it was good
yeah.
you were at when you
oh,
had those
yeah,
episodes.
I mean,
because they almost released you that first time to come home
yeah.
when you had an episode.
Well,
in the
and I don't know if they were going to release me to go home, but there was nothing really else they could do. Everything was fine. But come to find out that, like, my heart was really not functioning at more than 20 to 25%, or maybe it was 25 to 30%. And there's a number. They want it to be between 50 and 75 as far as how much blood gets pumped at any, you know, compression or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, mine was like at, you know, 15 to 20, and this new heart was like at 65,
mm-hmm.
which is in the sweet spot for getting enough blood circulating per pump. So there was, you know, like I said, my heart, the old heart was not functioning
right
enough to really get me going. But the electrical issues with getting into VTAC and having this fibrillation and stuff, that was the thing that any pump or anything like that was not going to help.
Mm.
And so that's why it had to be a heart transplant.
It's just incredible. We'll get another friend on the line here. Good morning, friend. Who's this?
Hey, Bonnie. It's Mike.
Well, look who's calling from the other side of the planet.
Hey, Jace, welcome back, buddy. My God. Bonnie told me that just thought that you were going to stop in one day. I didn't know that she was going to put you to work.
Well, if you're around Bonnie, she's not going to let you just sit and do nothing. She's going to make you do some work.
Well, I guess I should have figured that one out, that you're not going to get away with just walking in, say hello, and walk back out again.
Yeah, pretty much, pretty much.
Or my wife just says, oh, my God, he's back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Oh, yeah. And when you just, the statement you made a little bit ago when you're talking that you know roughly, you know, how long you should last with a new heart and all this. Well, I was 28 years old. I had a total hip replacement. And I asked my doctor, I said, well, how long is this going to last? And he said, well, it's hard to tell. Usually the people die. And I said, what? And he said, oh, wait a minute. Let me rephrase. We usually do it to elderly, and they pass on.
Yep.
Yeah. Not, oh, my.
It's like, no, you're not going to touch my hip if I'm going to be dead in 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, some of the gentlemen that have been in the heart transplant support group that Pastor Ken does down there at Abbott, there was one guy who just had his 80th birthday. He's had his new heart for 8 years. There's been a number of other ones that are you know, coming up on that 8 to 10 year mark, etc. But like I said, they're at least 20 years older than I am. So I think that might give that might give me a little more opportunity to kind of surpass the average life expectancy of a heart transplant recipient.
Yeah, and you know, like I've told everybody, you know, they're going to get their hips. Says I'm going to tell you one thing: do what the doctor tells you.
Yes,
you know, there's a reason he's a specialist. You know, my first one, I was, like I said, I was 28. I didn't always do what they told me.
Yep.
And I paid for it at times.
Yeah.
So when I had my second one redone, the doctor sits there, well, when do you want to get rid of the crutches? I said, I don't know. You're the boss.
Yeah.
You know, it's so.
Yeah, and my
and
mom.
I had four of them.
Yeah, my mom had both of her hips done. I think that she got the second one done a number of months before they went on their Italy trip last year with my aunt and uncle. Okay. And so, obviously, she listened to the doctors, and when she was able to do more exercises or walk on the treadmill, whatever it is, she's done that. And obviously, now she's walking around just fine, no problems, and back to enjoying life and not having any hip discomfort.
Yeah, I got no problems whatsoever. My last two surgeries were done by, I think he's probably one of the best ones in Fargo, Dr. Mathis. And that, no, he was excellent.
Yeah.
Well, those surgeries have come a long way over the decades here. It's incredible.
Yeah,
but
my first one, I was in the hospital for a week and rehab for a week. My last one was 6 years ago. I was in the hospital for 44 hours.
Oh, wow. In and out.
And that was it. In and out. I told the doctor, I said, hey, I live at home. I'm alone. I said, I need, you know, to stay 3 days so I can go in the swing bed. And the doctor in Crookston said, totally unheard of to have 3 days in the hospital for a hip replacement. So they released me from the hospital, and I went home.
Yeah. One of my sisters just had her hip replaced, I think, about 5 weeks ago, and it was outpatient. She was home. She had it in Duluth, drove home the hour and a half. Her husband drove, but hour and a half home, and she was already up and walking later that day. She said hot laps around her kitchen table. But she said within 2 weeks, it was she was just doing amazing.
Oh, yeah. They you know, it's just the technology. You know, in Jace's part, you know, 20 years ago, who knows what would have happened.
Yeah.
Well,
I totally agree.
Medical care and the good Lord and angels watching out for him too, and all the prayers that were being said for him.
20, 30 years ago, we probably wouldn't be talking to him today.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Absolutely.
Well, Mike, always good hearing from you. Say hi to Lonnie. I know she's listening there.
Yep, she's right. She's right here behind us.
Hi, Lonnie.
I'll talk about that wedding another time.
Okay, yeah. Call back tomorrow or whatever. If you already had it and stuff, call back. We'd love to hear from you.
And that there's a picture on Facebook of us at the wedding reception. And I was not drunk when I did the balut.
Yeah, that was so gross.
And I'm not drunk on this picture at the wedding reception. our daughter-in-law said to her, "Mommy, we need a picture." So we got standing there, and I didn't even get a chance to straighten my tie out.
Yeah, you looked a little disheveled. I saw the picture. You look good in pink, though.
Oh, thank you.
You bet. Take care, Mike.
Okay, we'll talk to you later.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it happened, but the vice president of the Philippines, I think it was the vice president, was supposed to be at this wedding.
Ooh, wow,
so we'll see
time.
If that happened. He'll call back. It is 5:45. Jace is back after his heart transplant the day before Thanksgiving. I mean, I'm shocked and amazed that you are back in the saddle as fast as you. I thought, well, maybe 6 months down the road, we shall see. But
like I said, it's a different type of job, so I think that allows me to come back sooner than maybe a lot of people thought. And, you know, I'm not doing much at home, so I might as well come back to work and be productive.
I'll try not to work you too hard. You just sit there and rest. Right. If you guys want to talk to Jace or answer our question in the morning, how are you feeling now that all the holiday festivities have wrapped up? Phone lines are open, 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Right now, your national news and sports from ABC. Welcome back, Jace.
It's like so weird.
It is so weird.
Back with
Vinny Barbarino.
Yeah.
I think even our coworkers don't even know you're, are just waking up realizing you're back. Beth says, "Good morning. What the?" And she's got a Jace, I thought I was hearing you. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Be gentle on yourself, she said.
Yes.
At least she didn't tell me to be nice. I'm going to be
nice. That goes without saying.
I try. What was our question last week? I think it was on Friday. What is something that makes your life easier? I said to James, the only answer you and Jace should have is should be Bonnie.
Definitely. I mean, when you're, you know, unfortunately, when you're gone and you know, James and I are in control of the show, then you make everything easier because everything's already planned.
It's all lined up for you.
I know.
You.
I'm like,
all
oh, sitting. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I have that wedding coming up in September.
Yep.
My daughter's wedding. So you and James are going to push you off. Kind of like in the deep end of the
pool.
Pretty much. You're going to be on your own because I'm going to be incognito for...
For like, what, 2 weeks?
Probably, something like that. But you'll be fine. You guys know what's going on.
It's going to be a long 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, you can call me if you want. I'll be either in Greece or Serbia, one or the other.
I don't know what time it'll be there. You might be in the middle of the night sleeping.
Oh, my goodness. So Carly and Milos and Zara, my seven-month-old granddaughter, are in Serbia because it's Serbian Christmas tomorrow. Yes. And so they are 7 hours... ahead of us, I want to say.
Well, Zara, England, I know that England is 6 hours ahead of us.
Zara is on Chicago time.
Oh,
so
no.
She is staying up till like 3 a.m.
Uh-huh.
And then she sleeps until 2 or 3 in the afternoon.
Sounds like my 16-year-old.
That makes it tough. Yeah, it's 12:52 right now in Serbia.
Yeah.
P.M.
So she's probably still wide awake. Well, no, P.M., so she's probably still sleeping.
She probably just fell asleep like at 3, 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
And they've been there like since a week ago, Saturday, like 10 days already.
And
watch, her sleep schedule get flipped like right before they come back to the States. And then it's going to be the same thing when they get back here.
I know Jaden went back to high school last week on Thursday and Friday. And I was just like, man, I don't know if this kid's going to be able to do it because her sleep schedule is wonky as it is. And then she let herself get even way farther off. I mean, she was like living... I swear the kid was living the opposite life. Like she was awake at night and then slept during the day. And you're just like, dude, you're going to be hating it come 7 a.m. on Thursday when you go back to school. I know.
Well, life was hard too with not knowing, you know, how dad was doing, you know.
Yeah.
So your whole family life and life for your girls got disrupted too.
Yeah, I mean there was at least a couple different stretches where Sandy was down with me. And I know we were looking at hotel receipts and there was one bill that was 9 days straight. And then there was, before we got to come home, she came down on like, what was it, the 5th or the 6th or something like that? And she was there until we got to come home on the 17th.
Well, and you're the task, you know, to keep the girls on their toes, especially Jaden when it comes to school. Like, are you, or even JC, like, are you awake?
I mean, you know, Sandy does that too. And, you know, obviously we have different parenting styles at times, you know. Someone's got to be good cop, someone's got to be bad cop, you know. depends on the situation. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they got out of their routine, you know.
Yeah, especially, that's what I mean.
Especially the oldest, when she has control of the house and she all of a sudden thinks it's her house and she gets to boss her sister around. You're like, what in the world?
Oh, and then girls, yeah. Teenage girls. Oh, yeah.
Know. It's just like, yep. And you're just like, oh my good.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, life was disrupted mm-hmm. for all of you during yeah. your health battles and not yeah. knowing that this was going to be the outcome for you. I mean, yeah. It's a blessing that you're alive.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those things where obviously nobody had seen this coming, but come to find out, just so everybody's obviously aware, this is not any kind of weird thing. This is a hereditary thing. Because mm-hmm. come to find out, because granted, both of my grandfathers on my mom and dad's side both had heart attacks when they were, you know, younger and still alive. But my dad's dad had the same artery blocked, although it was in a different location. I think it was towards the bottom of that artery. Dad's was in the middle. He had that widowmaker artery like 99% clogged. And mine was obviously 100% clogged. It was towards the top of the artery. Mm-hmm. So this is something that is, I believe, hereditary. Mm-hmm. And so while I was in the hospital, I sent a text message to my brother, my cousin Craig, and then the other Denmans. There's three of them, twins and their older brother. And I sent a text to all of them and said, this runs in the family. Mm. Please make sure you get it checked out yeah. because we don't need to have this happen to anybody else in the family again.
No. Yeah.
So I believe that this widowmaker artery and whatever is the, you know, cause behind it, it's hereditary. It happened to my grandfather years ago. It happened to my dad back in 2018 or 2019. And then it happened to me, although it happened to me a lot earlier
younger.
Than I
Well, that's what you said in the office too. I mean, yeah. I didn't expect this to happen. No. You're, you know, early 50s here, didn't yep. expect it to happen. And like I said, you take care yeah. of yourself. You're trying to go to the gym.
You're trying to do what you need to do. I mean, technically, I was actually more worried about getting cancer because I think my mom's side of the family, every one of her and her siblings, so she's got four siblings. She's the youngest of five. And every one of them has had some type of cancer. So that's what you're kind of concerned about. It's like, well, right. do I have to worry about cancer? And, you know, my sister's been on top of her yearly screenings and stuff like that for years just because there's a greater chance for her to come down with something. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're worried about that. You're not thinking there's going to be heart issues in your 50s as opposed to waiting until my dad was probably 68, I think, when he had his episode, which he was very lucky because in my small hometown with a volunteer ambulance crew, if he would have had a heart attack like mine, I don't know that he would be here right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and quick response, too. Thankful yeah. for the first responders, mm-hmm. police, who arrived on police, the scene to police, help you out.
Police were there first. Neighbors, I think, had called 911. I think my Apple Watch even called 911 on the collision. West Fargo PD was there first. Firefighters/EMTs were there shortly after. Thankfully, we've got a new fire station over by the high school, which is maybe 2 miles away. So they were there very quickly, and they did a lot of work on me to yeah. keep me here. So, mm-hmm. And then of course Sanford, they did their job and, got to a point where they wanted someone that had probably better facility, or more
higher
specific
level of care,
more specific facilities and more experience doing mm-hmm. it. And so that's why I got airlifted down to, Abbott and, then they took over. And of course Abbott, like I said, I can't say enough great things about Abbott, the staff there, the care, the quality of care, I mean, everything's, it was fantastic.
A lot of people yeah. involved in
a lot of people
here.
Involved in everything that happened over the last mm-hmm. couple months.
You bet. It is 5:58, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman in you. If you want to talk to Jace, the phone lines are always open to you. 701-293-9000, email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. You've got your news coming up at the top of the hour. Right now we're checking in with WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. Big Game James McCarty is in Frisco, Texas. We'll be hearing from him coming up at 7:10 this morning. He will be previewing the game between Montana State and NDSU. 6 o'clock kickoff on ESPN. And James's reports are brought to you by North Dakota Estate Services. Affordable focus. Visit ndestateservices.com. We are WDAY Fargo. It is 6 o'clock. 6:02, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here, welcoming Jace back to the studios with us as well. The gang's all together except for Jimmy. He's in Texas still.
Freezing in Texas.
Yeah. Not as cold as here, but they're not used to that in Texas either.
Well, not as much as we are. In fact, they're going to have snow down in Frisco. Wednesday and Thursday of this week.
Like measurable snow? Or?
Probably enough to shut, less.
Enough to shut down the state for a week.
No kidding, yeah. They can't remove snow down there. No. Not like up here, but it is cold. Man, was it a cold weekend?
Yes.
Did you stay up to watch the game last night?
Through the third quarter, and then I'm like, I'm going to bed.
Yeah, me too.
They're disappointing.
When you had four chances in the red zone.
Yep.
And you can't come up with a touchdown?
No. Nope. Especially against a banged-up defense like the Lions have
right
now.
Man, that was rough. It was rough to watch. I'm a Bears fan. It was rough to watch.
Yeah. But the Bears got a win against the Pack.
Hey, they're undefeated in 25.
There you go. Woo! Might this be their year?
Yeah. And the Cubs, too, along with them, right? It is a cold start to your work week this week. We're at 8 below right now with a wind chill 21 below. 11 below in Galesburg. Euland, you're at 8 below. DL's at 8 below. Cooperstown is at 12 below. Grand Forks at 10 below. And Wahpeton is at 6 below. Right now, guess what the wind chill is in Frisco? Just take a stab in the
Who was it, Matt Hansen? We saw somebody on TV up here that was down in Frisco doing a report. A wind chill, I'm going to say, well, for us... Okay, we'll give them 12 below wind chill. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
12 below? What?
Whoa.
I'll say it's like with the wind chill, it's like 32 degrees.
No, 6 above.
Really?
That's the wind chill or the temperature?
That's the wind chill.
The wind chill. Okay.
That's the wind chill. So, yeah.
He looked cold on TV.
Yeah, hopefully everybody brought their warm weather gear. Kickoff temp this evening will be in the low to mid 30s there.
Wow.
So, and a little bit of a breeze out of the north. So it's, it's going to be a chilly game for sure. Not as chilly as here. We're looking at partly cloudy skies as we head throughout the day today. Should reach a high all around 7-8 above, right around that general area with the northwest wind on the light side. So that's good news there. Not much wind like we had over the weekend. Although it doesn't take much wind when it's this cold out to shove those wind chills down well below zero. Tonight, clouds are thicken up a little bit. We'll drop down to about 5 below with a northwest wind at 5 to 10. And for Tuesday, partly cloudy skies, highs similar to today in the single digits above zero. And then we embark on a warm-up into the 20s by the time we get to Thursday. Also, a couple of chances of snow in the forecast. I'll run down details on that coming up after the bottom of the hour.
After the deep freeze, I suppose we should get excited about the 20s.
Yeah. It'll feel great.
Even if it's brief, we'll take it. We will take it, no doubt.
And you were absolutely right about those that were heading down to Frisco, Texas. Leave, Friday if you could, or early Saturday, because it was a mess down there. They had freezing rain that coated the roads in addition to the snow.
Yeah.
They shut down the interstate. They shut down the highways.
The ice was the worst. I mean, the snow was bad, but, and this just boggles my mind. When you have an ice storm to that, like, it was a third to a half inch. That's power outage and like, why in
tarnation?
Why would you even venture your vehicle out on the roadways?
Not
I don't know
smart.
How many accidents and pileups and that they had. Why? I mean, it's not rain, people. Mm-hmm. It's freezing rain. It's an ice rink out there. Yep. I can't comprehend.
When authorities and the media are telling you via the authorities to stay off the road, heed the warning. Your life and other people's lives can depend on it. You know?
It was a nasty storm. I had Barb was heading down there. One of our listeners emailed, and she's like, thank you so much. We were going to leave either Saturday or Sunday. She goes, and we ended up leaving Friday. She goes, thank you for the heads up. But hey, that's what we're here for, and hopefully.
And you gave ample warning. You had been warning all week long about how bad
this was
going to
be. A big pain in the butt, and it was. Some of my meteorologist friends down in Omaha and Lincoln really took it on the chin because they're just getting backlash from the general public, and they were right on that line where you might get nothing or you could get 8 inches, and to forecast that. The general public doesn't understand how tough that is. And they were right on that line, and they were forecasting 6 to 8 inches, and they got an inch.
I say be thankful you didn't get 6 to 8 inches of snow, right?
But Casey was in the bullseye, and they got hit hard. Yeah. They got hit hard down there.
And not to mention, the roads and the interstate and highways were closed down. Also, flights disrupted, of course, too.
Yeah, it was. So, hopefully everybody got down to Frisco safe. Let's bring back a victory, unlike the Vikings. Sorry, Vikings. That was...
Man.
I mean, there were some really good parts to that game, and then other there parts yeah, left you scratching yeah. your head like, yeah. what is going on?
Yeah. They sure made life tough for themselves now.
Yeah, but who do they have, Jace, first round?
They're going to be playing the Rams out in Los Angeles.
Okay. They should win that.
Which is a team I can't remember. I thought that they played the Rams early this season and got beat by.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was like one of their two losses. They lost to the Lions and they followed up with a loss to the Rams, I think.
Okay.
I could be wrong on that. But, I mean, it's an interesting matchup because the Rams, interestingly enough, rested a bunch of their studs like Matt Stafford, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp from Eastern Washington. All those guys sat out. They end up losing to Seattle. Of course, Seattle had some incentives to pay for. Like their quarterback got like three different bonuses for winning and having a career high in passing yards and the team getting to 10 wins. So that dropped the Rams from the 3 seed to the 4 seed. And with that happening and the Bucs win, the Bucs moved to the 3 seed and host Washington, who they played in week one. So.
Okay.
So I think we got a couple of rematches there in the first round of the playoffs.
Did you ever think you'd say, wow, the Lions, man, they look for real?
I thought going into that game last night, especially the way the Vikings have been playing and the fact they were healthy, I was like, well, this will probably be a grinded out game, but the Vikings will find a way to win. And here they'll be the top seed in the NFC. And everybody's going, huh? I mean, they were expected to win like 8-9 games or something this year.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, it was. It'll be interesting to see how far they go. But, man, it's, football. Just watching football yesterday with so much on the line and playoff implications. It was, I love football Sunday at the end of the year.
Yeah, my wife was just kind of like, make sure you don't get too excited.
Yeah.
You
know?
I'm like, don't watch
the Vikings.
I'm like, I can't help it. I mean, my team's losing at halftime to a team they should be up by 40 on.
Yeah, do you have any restrictions? Like, you can't watch certain sporting events?
I'm not going to tell anybody what sports I'm watching.
And you were right about the Rams beating the Vikings. It was week 8. The Rams won that game 30-20.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, then it's payback time.
Yeah. There you go.
It's payback
time.
Well,
you
sure
get a second chance at a team, you know? You never know. So I mean,
if you ask Jay Thomas, he'll say, we're done. That's exactly what he'll say.
Yeah, he will. Sounds about right. It is 610 Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Whether you honor dry January or continue to celebrate the new year, Beverage Wholesalers always reminds us to remind you to take a few minutes to give thanks and salute those who make it possible to enjoy the world that we live in, our military and first responders out there for us. Every single day, they make it all possible for us to live in this great community of ours.
That's right. Those men and women make it all possible, and they keep us safe and serve the greater good. And whether you are enjoying a Miller, a Leinenkugel, Fat Tire, Voodoo Ranger, Castle Danger, or any of the other great brews distributed by Beverage Wholesalers, when you tip one back, salute and give thanks to those who serve our military and those first responders out there for us every single day. This message is brought to you by Beverage Wholesalers in Fargo.
Couple more days to get qualified for the Desperado Vegas Dream Trip presented by American Security and Gate and brought to you in part by Frontier Airlines and Kingpin Social. Be listening to WDAY Radio throughout the day. You hear that special Eagle sounder with the phone number attached. Be the right number caller, and we will get you qualified. If you can't get through on the phone lines, you can always stop in at Kingpin's this afternoon from 3 to 5. Janae will be there. Get yourself registered. She'll pick two qualifiers this afternoon. And then your last opportunity, if you don't get qualified through the phone lines, your last opportunity will come on Wednesday. Big Game James McCarty and I will be at Kingpin Social, also from 3 to 5. And we'll pick two more qualifiers. And, of course, our big party is Wednesday as well, beginning at 5:30. So if you did get qualified, make sure you show up for that. 6:11, we're going to get your national news in from ABC. Then Jace has a check on your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:15, my partner Jace Denman is back in the saddle, hasn't missed a beat. He's here with your WDAY Radio Sports.
As most Vikings fans probably tuned out last night before bed, Detroit ends up beating the Vikings 31-9 to win the NFC North and take that top seed in the NFC, which means they get a bye week this coming weekend. Vikings had a number of possessions inside the red zone. I think there was 2 fourth-and-goal situations, or at least 4th-and-short inside the 5. They come up empty. Just no offense really last night. Sam Darnold, he only completed 18 of 41 passes for 166 yards. Ivan Pace Jr. Led the defense. He had 10 tackles, also had an interception in that game. Jahmyr Gibbs from the Lions, he took advantage of everything that was presented in front of him. 23 carries for 139 yards, 3 touchdowns, 5 receptions for 31 yards and a touchdown. Vikings are now the 5 seed in the playoffs and are going to visit the Los Angeles Rams in the wild card round on Monday night, January 13th. Kickoff will be scheduled for 7 p.m. on ESPN. Coincidentally, the Rams beat the Vikings 30-20 week 8. That was only one of their 2 losses. So now they got 3 losses, 2 to Detroit, 1 to the Rams, but they'll get a chance for redemption on Monday night. PGA Tour, Hideki Matsuyama set a course record with 35 under for the weekend, took home $3.6 million. Tom Hoagie finished the weekend tied for 8th at 23 under par. Normally 23 under par, man, you got a chance to win a tournament, but Matsuyama played really well. Tom Hoagie ended up with $550,000 in prize money. Tour stays in Hawaii for the Sony Open in Honolulu beginning on Thursday. Timberwolves are welcoming the Los Angeles Clippers to the Target Center tonight. Tip scheduled for 7. Struggling Minnesota Timberwolves at 17-17 this season, trying to figure out some chemistry between the teams, especially ever since they traded away Karl Anthony Towns for Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo.
Those two are good, but it doesn't seem like Ant is gelling real good with them.
No, I mean, teams are double-teaming him. He's forced to be a passer, and he's a scorer. So I think it might be a little bit – Mike Conley, our starting point guard, is by NBA standards, is old, and he hasn't been playing as much or as well as he has in previous years. So you kind of need the next Mike Conley, but where to find that Mike Conley? Because the only way you're going to find someone probably is going to be a trade, because Rob Dillingham, the exciting rookie – he's out, I think, another 1 to 2 weeks with an ankle sprain or something. So he's had kind of not the impact you wanted to see, because he had a couple games where he really lit it up. And you're like, all right, maybe this guy is the future at the point. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with injuries, you don't get to see him out there. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of waiting. Fargo Force split a weekend road trip. They were in Sioux City on Saturday, lost 3-1 to the Musketeers. Sunday, they got things going again. They took down Des Moines 7-4. Beating up on the Buccaneers, and coming up this weekend, Friday and Saturday, 2 games against those same Des Moines Buccaneers. We'll have tickets to give away later this week. College football playoff semifinals in the FBS division are Thursday and Friday. Thursday, Penn State takes on Notre Dame, and Friday, Texas takes on Ohio State. All those top 4 seeds that had a bye in that opening round, since there's 12 teams, Bonnie, all 4 of those teams lost, and I think all 4 of those teams were down by double digits at one point in time. Mm. The only exception for a close game was Texas going to double overtime against Arizona State. That was a fun game.
Oh, yeah, I saw the tail end of that, yeah.
Gophers basketball men are playing tonight at 8 o'clock on Fox Sports 1 against Ohio State. Women's team defeated Illinois 68-61. Head coach Dawn Plitzewicz, I believe, got her 400th career victory. She is a former University of South Dakota head coach. Morehead Spuds Athletics on WDAY Radio this week. Tomorrow, boys hockey versus Bemidji at 6 p.m. And then 2 days later, girls hockey versus Bemidji at 6 p.m. And then tonight, what everybody's been waiting for here in Fargo. Number 1, undefeated Montana State versus the second-ranked North Dakota State Bison. They come into tonight's matchup 13-2, 6 p.m. on ESPN. Get there, sit down in front of your TV for all that action tonight. And then if you're going to be listening to the radio, tune into Track Talk tonight from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Jason Berg will get you up to speed on everything happening in the local racing scene.
All right. And big game, James McCarty in Frisco, Texas. He'll be checking in with us about 7:10. FCS Championship Preview brought to you by North Dakota Estate Services. Affordable focus. Visit ndestateservices.com. Bunch of responses to our question of the morn. How are you feeling now that the holiday festivities had wrapped up? Janet says she needs winter to go away.
Yeah.
She needs longer days where it doesn't get dark by 5. Dennis is about the same, wrapping up Dad's estate, starting on Mom's, making progress with his cancer treatment. Mm-hmm. So continued prayers for him.
Yep.
Jane, she couldn't get into the holiday spirit this year. Dave said he was the same. He's laid up after recovering from surgery. Barb lost her mom. She wasn't in the holiday mood, mm-hmm. so totally get that. She's hoping to get back to normal. Justine's got to go back to school. Have fun with that, Justine.
Is she a teacher, I hope?
Yeah, she said getting back to teaching today.
Yeah.
That's always tough for the teachers, too. You know, the kids are straight a little bit. Hopefully she remembers how to do it, she says.
Yeah, that's funny when you have if you have a 2-week vacation, you come back and you forget your password or your computer and stuff like that. It wasn't quite the same like that for me. I mean, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, do I know how to run Bonnie's show on the computer? Do I know how to
I
run?
I know. There's a lot.
Do I know? Remember how to run the remote broadcast when James and I are doing sports, you know, on location? So there's a lot of stuff I got to brush up on.
Yeah, we're not going to rush you back into things. So you get to sit over there in the sidecar.
Yeah, the princess chair.
There you go. Like that. Crash says he's got more going on now than he did with the holidays. The big soup cook-off coming up in Hendrum at Maggie's. Me and Dean, and I think Janae might be judging that. Mm. That's this coming Saturday. And then there's a waffle feed and bingo and meat raffles, Moorhead American Legion on Sunday. Daryl's waiting for summer. Doreen is glad the holidays are over. Anita's glad to get back into the regular routine. Bonnie is ready for spring, and Dave is worn out. 621, yes, you actually are hearing Jace live in studio. I know we played our Christmas special in which you had a big part in that last year.
A very Bonnie Christmas.
Yep, the intros and the outros and segments, and then people thought you were back. And it's like, no, he's not back yet.
Not quite.
But you're actually hearing Jace. And I know he wanted me to make a little room for him here on the radio to thank people because it's just hard to thank everybody. So we'll do that coming up next. It is your heartbeat song, Jace.
Okay.
You've got the floor.
All right. My mom and dad came up for Christmas, not this past weekend, but the weekend before that. And my mom goes to me, she goes, are you going to send out thank yous?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I could, but there are so many people to thank that I would get my hand cramped up trying to write all those out. But I just want to take a minute to thank everybody that has thought about me, prayed for me, donated to the benefit. Just some of the names out there, Kevin Pfeiffer, Kevin Kramer, obviously everybody that bid on stuff at the auctions. I mean, there's some of them that are obviously anonymous. I don't know who won some of those bigger ticket items, but thank you to those guys. Obviously, West Fargo PD, thank you so much for being there right away and hearing from James. One of his buddies was there on that call, and he knows the other officer that potentially was the first one to do compressions. My friend Julie and all of her coworkers at West Fargo Fire and EMTs for continuing to do work on me and keep me here with everybody. Sanford Medical, I wouldn't recognize any of those doctors by face because I was sedated the 2 days I was there, but thank you to Sanford Medical here in Fargo for taking care of me and getting me down to Abbott Northwest. Fantastic hospital. Trying to remember the nurses' names, Jenna, Janine. I think Matt was the guy that told me the night the heart was available. Dr. Renowitz, Dr. Ekman, Dr. Haugland, Dr. Bennett. Dr. Lodowitz was the surgeon that performed the surgery. Thank you to them for doing what they do. My transplant coordinators, Chris, Andrea, who's still in touch with me with a couple upcoming appointments and med changes. Mm-hmm. And then obviously everybody here at Flag Family Media, thank you for everything you did for me. Thank you for putting on the benefit. I mean, I wasn't expecting anything like that. Everybody that came down to visit, although Bonnie, I don't remember you coming down to visit.
You knew I was there, though, because you squeezed my hand and wagged your foot at me one time.
Dean was down there. James came down, obviously.
Steve
Hallstrom was there. I had aunts and uncles, and everybody stopped by, make special trips to come see me. But obviously, most importantly, obviously, thank you to my girls for not burning the house down when we were gone. My wife and my parents, Ron and Janet, who obviously you interviewed at one point in time. Thank you to those three for always having somebody there while I was going through all of this. Even when I was just laying in bed.
Yeah, you were never alone. There was always family there.
They kind of took turns kind of splitting between mom and dad and my wife. But they've been down there. Sandy was down there that last whole stretch. And they did a fantastic job making sure there was somebody with me. And just if I was sedated, sleeping or whatever, you know, they were there holding my hands and just, you know, praying for me and stuff. I had friends, a high school buddy I told you about earlier, Jeremy, he was there. I had a friend that I knew back after my freshman year of college, back in like the summer of 91, I think, would have been when I went to Sioux Falls. I mean, I hadn't seen him in 30 plus years, and he stopped by and talked with me and had a chat. So there's so many people. I can't say thank you enough, but thank you. Thank you to the people in my hometown that have actually reached out to my parents, donated to my parents to help them cover travel costs and hotel bills down in the cities when they were staying with me. So everybody, anywhere.
The Fargo Force, MSUM, the parents, everybody.
Yeah, MSUM, coaches, players, staff, administration, The family members of the football team, they took up a donation for me at the last tailgate. They've done it. The listeners, you guys have just been, you know, curious and hoping that I, you know, get well soon. And you guys have been praying for me as well. I mean, the list goes on and on. I to this day, I am still overwhelmed by the amount of support and love that I got during this whole thing. I mean, I would have never, ever expected that, because to me, in my opinion, I'm just a guy and I'm just doing a job. But it honestly, Bonnie, it shows you that if you are kind and a decent person, you know, people will remember that about you more than anything. Mm-hmm. There's a guy that works at Hornbacher's. I think his name is Matt, and he remembered me from the time we played pickup ball together, and he had taken an elbow and was bleeding or something from his eye or his nose or something like that. And I went and got him a towel.
Yeah.
Just because that's what you're supposed
people
to do.
People remember stuff like that.
But he remembered that more so than me remembering him. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's just small acts of kindness.
Kindness matters.
Exactly. If you can be anything, be kind, and always remember that, you know, it's about the way you make people feel, not what you said or anything to them, but how they felt when you were around them. So I cannot say thank you enough to everybody out there.
Yeah, and so many of you reached out, whether you were calling us here at the station or you were sending emails, messaging us on Facebook, telling us you were praying for Jace. Mm-hmm. I mean, the prayers.
Yeah.
And I know you brought it up earlier, but not everybody was up early in the 5 o'clock hour, Jace. But we know that there was a, I mean, God was involved and the angels are involved here. And your Aunt Cindy, who has passed on, your dad had vivid dreams. Tell our listeners about that. Yeah. Everybody missed it this morning.
You know, a lot of times when people have a life-changing event like this, they see a bright light or they see angels or they see relatives that passed on. I don't remember anything from that week, so maybe something will come back at some point in time. But come to find out, as we were in the hospital and waiting for the transplant and after the transplant, all of a sudden my dad tells me the story that says, I had a dream about your aunt. My aunt, as I said earlier, became nonverbal towards the end of her life, and she was going to be just like my grandmother, very outgoing, the smile, the twinkle in her eye type of grandmother. And my Aunt Cindy was becoming just like my grandmother. And unfortunately, she passed before my dad and my dad's older brother. She's the baby of the family. And so she was nonverbal, not really able to walk as freely as she once did. And my dad had not one but two vivid dreams where my Aunt Cindy came to him and said, he's going to be fine. He I told him it wasn't his time. He had to go back, but he just wanted to see Grandma and Grandpa. So twice my dad had this dream, which makes perfect sense to me, because if you know my aunt and you know my grandmother would have been the one to tell us, because I've always felt ever since my grandmother passed away 20 some years ago that she's been our guardian angel. Mm-hmm. But when my Aunt Cindy passed, I'm sure my aunt, knowing my aunt and knowing my grandma, she's going to say, Mom, Dad, sit down. I'll go talk to Ron. Don't worry. You stay here. You just relax. You know, I've got it now. Mm-hmm. And so that's the type of person she was. And I'm sure that she was the one that, you know, said, I'll go talk to him. And so she reminded my dad twice that I was going to be okay. And then I had a situation where we were going to have this first biopsy and we had to have a temporary pacemaker put in. And dad was worried about it, because you can tell my dad gets worried because he gets very, very quiet. Mm-hmm. And so I looked over at dad and I just said, Dad, remember what Aunt Cindy said? Mm-hmm. And then he just kind of nodded and everything has been fine.
You bet. So. Well, for those of us that believe, we know the power of prayer, and it's a miracle you're here. And Jace just wanted to say thank you
just
to all of you.
Thank you to everybody. I mean, there's so many thank yous that need to go out. I mean, I just wanted to put it here so that way people know that I thank every single one of them that thought about me, prayed about me, donated to me, and did, you know, work on me when it comes to the medical staff.
Yep. You and your family are very appreciative. Dino's coming in with your weather coming up in a couple of minutes. It is 6:31. 6:33, definitely bitterly cold. How long is it going to last? Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here with a check on our forecast.
Well, it's going to be cold throughout the week. We will see some gradual warming as we head into midweek and onward, so that's good news there. No big storms in the forecast, but we do have a couple of small clippers that will be heading our way over the next week. So for snow lovers, it's don't nothing to get too excited about, but it's something. So we're sitting 8 below right now with a wind chill 21 below, 11 below in Galesburg, Cooperstown 12 below, Ulin and DL, you're both at 8 below. Grand Forks at 10 below, and Wahpeton's at 6 below. So everybody well below zero. And we'll make it up into the single digits today under partly cloudy skies, about 7 above with northwest winds on the light side. Mainly cloudy tonight, down to 1 below with northwest winds 5 to 10. And partly cloudy, a little breeze on Tuesday, northwest 5 to 15. Highs right around 6 above. And then teens on Wednesday. Clouds come back on Thursday with some little light snow. We're not looking at much, and less than an inch out of that on Thursday. Looks like probably about a half inch, with highs in the 20s. Then we'll cool it down into the teens to near 20 on Friday and Saturday. Another light snow clipper system comes our way Saturday into Sunday. That could give us an inch or two out of that. Again, not a big system, but a little bit of light snow. And then colder weather follows that to start off next week. So a couple of clipper systems, no big deal, no big storms in the offing. And as we said, you know, January is not going to be a stormy month. It's going to be a cold month here with temperatures below normal. We'll see our little January thaw coming up here in about the third week. It's probably not going to last very long, 4 or 5 days.
But it seems to help, though, when you're in a real brutal part.
Yeah, yeah. And then back into the cold weather as we head into the end of the month, it looks like. But February, we should warm up a little bit, and February looks stormier as well. Mm-hmm. We can't seem to get that snow machine going. And like I said, according to the LRC, I just think the back end of winter and early spring, we're going to get hit. Which is okay, because then it doesn't last long.
You can see the light at the end
of the tunnel.
It doesn't
last long, exactly. So
how cold did we get over the weekend? What was our lowest temp, you know?
I will check. I saw 15 below.
Ooh, that cold?
In our general area, it was between 10 and 15 below over the weekend. Okay. I'll check the official low, but throughout the area, it was between 10 and 15 below over the weekend.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed that my dog doesn't decide it's too cold and he's going to poop in the house. He hasn't done that yet, but he certainly does not want to go outside.
So tomorrow, I'm going to give you guys a little history lesson. And if any of our listeners know the answer to this, 701-293-9000, we'll get you a couple of those coveted WDAY keychains. Tomorrow is the 7th, right? So the 7th and the 8th. Mark a historic weather event that happened here in Fargo. What year and what was the historic weather event? January 7th and 8th mark a historic weather event that happened here in Fargo. What year and what was that historic weather event? 701-293-9000, or you can email me, weather@flagfamily.com, if you have the right answer.
Yeah, email him. Then I don't have to answer the phone.
Oh, wow. Call people, because it gets under Bonnie's skin. 701-293-9000 if you know the answer to that. Might throw in something a little extra for you,
too. Is it a hard question? Can they find this by Googling?
You will not be you're going to have to do some deep Google search for it.
Were most of us alive when this happened?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we're narrowing it down. Most of us were alive.
Yes.
Well, we'd still be alive.
I believe I've got it written on in my office. I believe it happened in the 80s. Quote me on that, but I've got it in my office. I believe it happened in the
80s. I don't remember much from the 80s. I was in college.
I'm sure you don't. Well,
I was in junior high.
That's why you can call me the wise elder.
Right.
Hey, was there a clipper or something out in western North Dakota? Because I see the roads, Williston-Dickinson, snow-covered.
Yeah, they're getting a little light snow out in the western part of the state. They'll get about an inch out of that, basically west of a Minot-Bismarck line. Inch or less west of that line. So, yeah, but there will be some slippery roads out in the western part of the state today.
So, other than that, roads in good winter driving condition, Minnesota, the rest of North Dakota, except for way out west. Road reports brought to you by Dave's West Fargo Tire and Service. 6:38, we're going to get your national news in from ABC. Wait a minute, Dino, we have a phone call. Maybe somebody knows the answer. Hello, are you here to answer Dean's question?
Yeah, was that thunder kind of rain storm that we had when it was 97?
Was it 97? Prior to the flooding years?
No. That's not what we're looking for. That's a good answer, though.
Yeah.
That's a good answer. It's not
the thunder blizzard. Yeah, that's always a good one.
It was He's on the right track.
Okay.
Let's say he's on the right track. Think 80s,
you guys can remember. Okay. We're going to get your national news in from ABC. Check in with the American Ag Network, and Jace has your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:44, he is back, Jace Denman, and he has a check on your WDAY Radio Sports.
Unfortunately, the 9-game winning streak for the Minnesota Vikings came to an end last night. They dropped the game against the Detroit Lions 31-9. Detroit wins the NFC North, and they take home the NFC's number one seed. That means they get a bye week. Everybody else in the playoffs, seeds 2 through 7, plays next weekend. Vikings struggled in the red zone. They had 4 trips. They only got 2 field goals. They had 2 fourth downs they did not convert on. Sam Darnold, not looking like the guy that's been just setting the world on fire. The rest of the season, he was 18 of 41 for 166 yards. Jahmyr Gibbs had a great game. He had 170 yards of total offense and 4 touchdowns. Lions get the bye week. As I said, Vikings are now the 5 seed, and they will visit the 4-seeded Los Angeles Rams in the wild card round Monday night, January 13th. Kickoff slated for 7 p.m. on ESPN. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
And it was on the cord. Hideki Matsuyama set a course record, I think it's a PGA Tour record, for 35 under on the weekend. He took home $3.6 million in his win. For all you Tom Hoagie fans, do not worry. He finished tied for 8th at 23 under par, and he ended up with $550,000. Mm. Tour stays in Hawaii. Poor guys. I don't know how they can manage playing 2 tournaments in consecutive weekends in Hawaii. But they'll stay there for the Sony Open in Honolulu, and that begins on Thursday. Timberwolves back in action tonight. They host the Clippers. Wolves struggling at 17-17. Can't really find a rhythm to get really back where they were last season. Fargo Force split a couple of games this weekend. On Saturday, they fell at Sioux City 3-1. Sunday, they took down Des Moines 7-1. Coming up this week, we've got college football playoffs at the FBS level. Thursday at the Orange Bowl, Penn State and Notre Dame. Friday at the Cotton Bowl, Texas and Ohio State. College basketball over the weekend. MSU men's and women's team both dropped a couple of home games, unfortunately. The men have been struggling a little bit as far as consistency, Bonnie, with the 2 of their lead guards out, with Jacob Beniga and Jameer Price both battling some injuries. Minnesota Golden Gophers, they take on Ohio State, the men at 8 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. The women defeated Illinois yesterday 68-61. Dawn Plitzowitz, her 400th career victory, former head coach at USD and West Virginia, among other stops. Morehead Spuds Athletics on WDY Radio with Larry Knutson this week. Tomorrow night, hockey, boys hockey versus Bemidji at 6 p.m. And then Thursday, girls hockey versus Bemidji at 6 p.m. But the main entree of the sports world tonight for those in Fargo is the FCS National Championship game live from Frisco, Texas. Kickoff scheduled for 6 p.m. Number 1 ranked Montana State at 15-0 versus 2nd ranked North Dakota State at 13-2. Bonnie, can you quickly tell me the 2 teams that beat North Dakota State this year?
Montana?
No. That was your guess, really? That's the effort you put into it?
I don't know. Well, I was thinking of other things. Oh. I was daydreaming while you were doing this. This is my time to do my thing here. I don't know.
They lost to Colorado in the season opener. And then the season finale, they lost to South Dakota.
I should have known the South Dakota one.
Tune in to Track Talk tonight from 6:30 to 8 p.m. with Jason Berg on WDAY Radio. He'll get you up to speed on everything happening in the local racing scene.
I was just busy when you asked me that. You're handsome. I was posting a picture of you on our Bonnie and Friends Facebook page.
There you go.
Letting you know that
I was actually here.
Yeah, see, I was doing things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Behind the scenes, when somebody's talking and they've got, like, the floor, then the rest of us are usually busy doing things. So
exactly.
I was posting a Facebook picture. You guys can all go to our Bonnie and Friends page and check out Jace. He's looking great, and we're so grateful to have you and to have you back at work, too.
Exactly.
Big Game James McCarty is in Frisco, Texas. We'll be hearing from him. He'll have live reports coming up, brought to you by North Dakota State Services. He'll join us at 7:10, and then also go to our Facebook pages and WDAYRadioNow.com. The fan cam. Jace was on the first one, I think, right?
Yep, we did the first one together, and we'll probably do one whenever James gets back to kind of wrap up the national championship game. Thankfully, it starts at 6 o'clock tonight, Bonnie. I might be able to watch the whole thing.
Yeah, I can handle that. The Vikings disappointed me. Yeah. If I'm tired today, it's going to be because of the Vikings. And I did go to bed after the third quarter. I had enough of them. I was just really disappointed.
Yeah, I really thought going into that Vikings game last night with the injuries that the Lions had, I really thought that the Vikings were going to find a way to win. Mm-hmm. And to see the defensive effort from a very banged up Detroit Lions team was really pretty impressive and kind of a disappointment when it comes to Sam Darnold in that offense.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
But now you got to regroup and you're going to go to Los Angeles, take on a Rams team that beat you. You got some revenge in mind. And then if the Vikings win that game, I believe there's no like reseeding in the second round of the playoffs. I think they'd get another shot at Detroit if they beat Los Angeles.
We shall see. All right. It was on the Dayton Entertainment History. This song was at number one. Mick Jagger sang backing vocals on it. Find out what it is in Music Flashback. That comes your way each and every morning right around 6:56. Stand by. We're going to be heading back to the American Ag Network shortly.
It was on this date in 1998 that not one but two musicians were each nominated for the Best Country Vocal Performance for their version of this song. Find out what it was coming up next in Music Flashback.
In 1968, the Beatles' Magical Mystery Tour album started an 8-week run at number one on the U.S. album charts. It contained the soundtrack to the 1967 film of the same name.
Despite widespread media criticism, easy for you to say, mm-hmm. I would say this is not my favorite Beatles album either. Soundtrack was a huge commercial success. Strawberry Fields Forever peaked at number 8 on the Billboard charts.
I like that song.
It's not Carly Simon.
This was a monster hit. 1973, Carly Simon's You're So Vain started at 3-week run at number one. Mick Jagger sang backing vocals here.
Simon has said the song refers to three men. The only one she's publicly named is actor Warren Beatty. The song is on Billboard's list of 100 greatest songs of all time.
In 1975, the mayor of Boston canceled the Led Zeppelin concert after more than 2,000 fans rioted while trying to buy tickets.
Oh, good grief. They caused nearly $75,000 in damage at Boston Garden. The canceled gig was rescheduled the following month.
In 1990, Phil Collins started a 3-week run at number one on the U.S. album chart with But Seriously.
The album was a huge commercial success worldwide. The lead single, Another Day in Paradise, won a Grammy for Record of the Year.
1998, Trisha Yearwood and Leanne Rimes each were nominated for Best Country Vocal Performance by a female for their versions of How Do I Live?
This was the first time in Grammy history that two renditions of the same song competed against each other. Rimes took the Diane Warren penned song to number 2 on the charts. Trisha Yearwood's version was featured in the film Con Air, starring the one and only Nicolas Cage.
They're both very good versions. Mm-hmm. I want to say I maybe even like Trisha Yearwood's better.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. They're both good.
Having a birthday today! Kim Wilson of the Fabulous Thunderbirds is 74. The band had two big hits in the 1980s, Tough Enough and Wrap It Up.
And if you're having a birthday today, happy birthday to you, too. Big game, James McCarty's in Frisco, Texas. We'll get an FCF championship preview with him. Brought to you by North Dakota Estate Services, affordable, focused. Visit ndestateservices.com. James will be joining us coming up in about 10 minutes. We are WDAY Fargo. And the news this hour brought to you by Summit Carbon Solutions. Visit summitcarbonsolutions.com to learn how this project is creating more economic opportunities for ethanol producers and strengthening the market for corn growers in North Dakota. 7:02, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here with our forecast.
Yeah, it is cold.
It is very cold.
It is cold, and the good news is it's not going to be as cold as it was over the weekend. So we're slowly going to climb out of the deep freeze this week as we see temperatures moderate just a bit. But it's a cold start to the day. We've got wind chills about 20 below. That's pretty common across most of the area. So bundle up if you're heading out. Actual air temperature is between about 5 and 12 below. We're at 8 below here at the studio with the wind chill at 21 below. We're only going to see a high today of 7 above under partly cloudy skies. Some light snow out in the western part of the state, but that is not moving east. It's moving southward. We'll have light northwest winds today. Tonight, clouds come back in. We'll drop down to 1 below. And Tuesday, partly cloudy, northwest winds 5 to 15, adding a little bite to the air with highs, again, in the single digits between 5 and 10 above. And then we'll vault all the way into the teens on Wednesday. Clouds come back with a little clipper system on Thursday with highs in the 20s. That looks to be about a half inch or less of snow And then we'll stay in the teens to near 20 as we head into the weekend. Could have a stronger Clipper system coming in here over the weekend, Saturday night into Sunday. That could pose a little more of a problem, not in terms of a big snow, but if we got a couple inches out of that and then 30, 35-mile-an-hour winds on the backside of it, that could pose a problem later on Sunday. So something we'll keep a close eye on. No big, big storms in the offing. But again, we all know those Clipper systems that sometimes only bring a couple inches. If you get the wind with it, that does pose quite a bit of problem with blowing snow and whatnot. So we'll be keeping an eye on that late weekend system as we get a little closer.
All right. Thank you, Dino.
You bet.
Weather's been brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation.
And yes, you are hearing Jace Denman. He is back on the air with us right here on Bonnie and Friends on WDAY Radio. Our other sidekick. The three of us will be back together again later this week. But
Wednesday-ish.
I mean, we're kind of together, but not in the studio together.
Not in the same space. No.
Yeah. Big game James McCarty is down in Frisco, Texas. We'll get a preview of the FCS championship game tonight. The Bison are in action. James's reports are brought to you by North Dakota Estate Services. Avoid probate, save taxes, protect your heirs. With affordable, focused expertise, visit ndestateservices.com. Coming up this morning, we're going to get one of you qualified to get entered to win the Desperado Vegas Dream Trip presented by American Security and Gate and brought to you in part by Frontier Airlines and Kingpin Social. You got to get registered by Wednesday or qualified by Wednesday in order to be in the running here. There's a number of opportunities yet on the air, so listen to WDAY Radio all day long. And if you want to stop by, we do have a qualifying stop today over at Kingpin Social. Janae will be there between 3 and 5 this afternoon. Stop in, fill out a registration form. She will pick two qualifiers at the end of the event there at 5 o'clock this afternoon. And then if you can't get through on the phone to get qualified, your final opportunity will be on Wednesday at Kingpin Social, 3 to 5. Big Game James McCarty and I will be there. And everybody who has been qualified and who has yet to get qualified, we expect you to be at Kingpin's on Wednesday beginning at 5:30 for a party we're going to have going on with our big reveal and our winner announced later that night. 7:05 right now, your national news from ABC, then Big Game James McCarty joins us. 7:09, Big Game James McCarty live in Frisco, Texas for the FCS championship game, giving us a preview. Brought to you by North Dakota Estate Services, affordable focus. Visit ndestateservices.com. Jace is back on air with us, too. The trifecta, the trio is there back. Hi, Jimmy.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing this morning?
We're good, but it looks cold down there in Frisco.
Yeah, what's the temperature back home in Fargo?
Right now it's about 6 below.
Okay, yeah, so we're not doing too bad then. It's about 20 degrees here. But with the wind out of the northwest, we have a real feel of about 3 or 4 above zero at the moment.
Not so, what everybody was expecting down there.
I knew it was going to be in the mid-30s for kickoff here this evening. But, of course, my Midwesterner self thought, oh, there's no way it'll get down to, you know, the teens or anything of that sort. So we'll see how I survive today. I'm thankfully, I'm thick-skinned, though, so we should be all right.
Yeah, I was going to say, good thing you run hot.
Yes, exactly. I had the air on up until woke up to take a shower about an hour ago. I was that one person. I got into the rental car. I turned on the AC on Friday. I turned on the AC when I got in here, and everybody's like, what's wrong with you? I said, I'm from northern Minnesota. Like, oh, okay. That makes more sense now. Okay.
There you go. Now, James.
But thankfully we have. What do you got?
I was going to say, speaking of the weather, James, do you think that it's going to have any effect on the games? Because obviously Montana State is an outdoor team. NDSU plays in a dome. They played one of their games at USD, which is in a dome. Obviously, the SDSU would be kind of accustomed to this, them playing outside in Brookings. So I guess my question is, do you think it has any effect on the game tonight, especially if it's a bit breezy there? Could that affect the passing game, et cetera?
Yeah, I think, you know, it definitely could a bit. Maybe you're going to be a little bit more selective in the shots that you take downfield. You're going to try and control the line of scrimmage a little bit more. You might be looking more for the tight ends or for shorter crossing routes with your receivers for both programs. As you had mentioned, Montana State, they rock and roll in this, you know, in this weather for the most part. every time the sun goes down because they have an outdoor stadium. The Bison, though, when there are elements involved, I know that they have that beautiful indoor facility that they use daily, but when there's elements outside, if it's raining or if there's a little bit of snow or if it's a chilly day, Coach Polisek likes to get the guys out there, even if it's only for an hour or so, just to get them acclimated to playing outside, outdoors, and in the elements. Because, of course, if you can catch a football in the rain, you can catch a football in the 70-degree climate-controlled dome, right?
That's absolutely.
Just, you know, it just makes sense that route. But at the same point, I think the biggest thing you're going to see today, it's something that you saw a little bit when the Bison were in Boulder at the end of August with the natural grass field. It looks beautiful right now. They were doing a great job of getting ready to go after that bowl game that was here a couple of weeks ago, and everything looks to be good for it. There's no, you know, there was very minimal rain. There was a little bit in the early morning hours yesterday, but, you know, it wasn't anything that turned anything into slop of any sorts. But it's going to be on that natural grass, and when they were practicing, they were testing out just to make sure that they had the right style of cleats on, to make sure that there was the least amount of slippage possible, making sure that they could make their breaks with their defensive backs, making sure that the running backs and receivers can make their cuts the way that they needed to, and, of course, the linemen can keep their footing as well. So there was a little bit of that. If anything, you might see a little bit of slippage early on, I believe, in this game, just from the excitement of these two programs who are one's trying to have an undefeated season and win their first national championship in 40 years, and the other one's trying to break a drought of a whopping 3 calendar years at this point. So, yeah, it's two very starving fan bases in different capacities, but it'll be an exciting game tonight, and I really do believe that this game does come down to, you know, people are going to say, well, it comes up to the front 7, right, defensively. It comes down to the offensive line controlling it. It comes to those types of things, and I think that's true. But I think this game's going to come down to which quarterback makes the least amount of mistakes, because these are 2 4-year starter quarterbacks. These are 2 quarterbacks that have played in multiple national championship games now. These are 2 Walter Payton Award finalists, with one of them winning, one of them being the runner-up. These guys have battled each other year after year after year in the postseason over the last handful of years. Which of these guys keeps the chains moving, and which of these guys tries to make that big play that ends up turning into a mistake? And I think that's going to be the difference in this game, and I think that'll be the difference in making this an 8- or 10-point ball game versus a 2 or 3 and coming down to a final second field goal.
Now, you got there Friday, James. What is the fan base like? I know a lot of people left early because Dean had been warning for about a week about how awful conditions were going to be on the interstate going down. It seemed like I was seeing people check in on social media. It seemed like a lot of people were in place and having fun. What's the feel been like for the crowd?
Yeah, well, it's day by day. A few more people show up. What was really exciting was just on that initial flight on Friday, the late afternoon into the early evening hours, you could just start to see a little bit of green and gold start to funnel in. And each day you're at the hotel, you wake up, and it seems like you see another person or two or a group or two more of this green and gold. But also, you're seeing a good amount of Montana State fans. There were a couple of restaurants where some people would say that it's bison turf of sorts, which is odd to say when you're in Frisco. But there's been a funnel of Bobcat fans also working into there, and it's been a really exciting just to see the passion out of both these fan bases. And, of course, long travel distances from people that were trying to get here before all the weather that we've been experiencing back home over the last handful of hours and moving forward.
I know a lot of fans weren't happy that the Bison Tracker app isn't. They aren't using that this year. And it's like, I was trying to figure out what was wrong with it at first. It's like, I missed that because it was kind of cool to watch everybody checking in, and they were coming from all different parts of the country as well as down from Canada and elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very helpful in trying to, you know, outside of the 1 or 2 spots where you have that hunch that you're going to find people, being able to locate people a bit and try and be involved in the festivities and the excitement. But that's something that when those tailgate lots open up this morning, I understand that it's a little bit chilly by the local standards and even, I suppose, for us back up north. But those tailgate lots are going to fill up in a hurry. There's going to be a lot of people there, a lot of excitement, and they're going to be ready to rock and roll hours before this game kicks off, because this is something that we're all reacclimating ourselves to. You know, on a normal Saturday, it's a 2:30 kickoff for the Bison. You know, for for Montana State, you get once in a while you get a nationally televised game, but a lot of those games are in the early to mid-afternoon as well. A lot of the FCS playoff games are at 11 a.m., 2:30, 5 o'clock, things of those sorts. So they're a little bit earlier than a 6 p.m. kickoff on a Monday evening. So I know with all the players that I've talked to, they said that's going to be probably the toughest part for them, is they wake up in the morning to get ready for brunch and an early morning walkthrough, but they're going to have to basically sit on their hands for 8, 9, 10 hours while they're waiting for the anticipation of that opening kickoff.
Well, you're just going to have to remind Bison fans, pace yourself. Just because
I've lived up there long enough. Pacing isn't the thing. It's about getting an extra meal in. That's true.
There you go.
You just got to soak it up a little bit.
Well, the economic input of this tournament, though, that's huge for the Frisco economy there. And with the renovations, Toyota Stadium, that are going to be going on. What are those games moving to? Nashville, is it, for a couple years?
Yep,
it'll be Nashville the next 2 years, and that's actually been a few questions that have been presented to those who are representing the NCAA here this weekend and asking about what the status is of the championship game returning here in the 2028 championship in that January of that year. And they would love to do it, it sounds like, but you just can't guarantee anything because it is a plan of close to a two-year renovation at Toyota Stadium here in Frisco. And it's a matter of, does everything stay on track for that? Do you run into budgetary things? Does something fall behind? So that plays as much of a role as anything into that one. And that's why they made that decision to actually go to Nashville, because they could have played the games here, from my understanding, but they would have only been at about half capacity, somewhere in that 9,000 to 10,000 realm of capacity, instead of closer to that 19,000 to 20,000 like we see each and every year.
And I think the other thing too is, Bonnie, is I think that maybe in the next 2 years when it's in Nashville, there might be open bidding to get that national championship game, because obviously it hasn't always been in Frisco. It's kind of moved around a little bit. So obviously in the next couple of years in Nashville, then we'll see where it ends up after that. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed, James, you could probably answer this as well. I wouldn't be opposed to that national championship game kind of rotating around the country a little bit, because, you know, obviously, you know, up here in Fargo covering the Bison, it might be a couple different trips to maybe some different locales.
Mm. Yeah, it would be awesome to do something of that sort. I know for myself, selfishly, it's nice because you have a couple of friends and family in this kind of metropolis area of Dallas-Fort Worth, so it's nice to have a meal with them. And like a couple of friends went to church yesterday morning, went and had brunch with them, and we're able to catch up a little bit. But of course, at the same point, you know what? If we're in a similar spot the next two calendar years and I have to book a plane ticket to Nashville, you will not hear one complaint out of me when I go grab my cowboy hat and I end up at Toby Keith's bar on that main strip. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, he already has his
might
cowboy
need
boots.
You to make sure that I make it to the game.
Yeah, exactly. Well, come on, James, we got a football game to cover.
Jace will be well enough to hopefully chaperone you a little bit. Okay, so I know if people go to WDAYRadioNow.com, follow our social media pages, they can see the Gate City Bank Frisco fan cam, all the reports you have up there. And you'll continue to join us. We'll be hearing from you again about 8:10 this morning with an FCS championship preview here.
Yes, correct. So, yeah, if you go to, like you had mentioned, WDAYRadioNow.com, the sports tab, you also have that actual live link with the Gate City Bank Frisco fan cam, where all that stuff's being funneled to. Different conversations we've had with the coaches, with players, and actually we have one going up with Gray Zabel in the next couple of minutes. So be looking for those. They're really fun, really exciting, talking with Logan Kopp, Braylon Henderson, head coach Tim Polasek, even get head coach Brent Vegan of Montana State. He talks a little bit about his ties to a couple of decades in Fargo, playing, coaching, and now being the opponent in a national championship against that very Bison squad.
All right, 6 o'clock kickoff ESPN tonight.
Correct, yes.
All right. Bridget's already offering to chaperone you if they go in Nashville next year.
Sure.
Hey, that's fine with me. As long as everybody gets me from point A to point B in timely fashion.
There you go.
Well, I think the whole morning crew should go, minus Dean, because he'll get us in trouble. But the four of us should go. There you
definitely
go. Thank you, James. We'll catch you about 8:10.
Sounds great. Thank you, guys.
You bet. Big Game James McCarty, FCS Championship Preview, brought to you by North Dakota Estate Services. Affordable focus. Visit ndestateservices.com. WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel joins us next.
7:24, and it's time to head down to the farm with our ag director, Miss Bridget Riedel. How are you doing this morning, Bridget?
I am so glad you are back, Jace. Just in time to make fun of me. This is fantastic.
I know. That's my job here, right?
Right. Hey, by the way, nice work on this whole heart situation. Way to be back up and pumping it.
Well, you know, somebody's got to do it, and you know, that's my job, is just try and get better each day. So here I am.
Test the limits. All right.
Yeah, exactly.
This has become the week to kick off farm show meetings all over the place. Are you looking for something to attend and learn from? Well, first up, Lake Region Roundup is going to be held Wednesday and Thursday this week in Devil's Lake. That is put on by the North Dakota State University Extension Program. They do a phenomenal job. This is a two-day event packed with breakout sessions, main stage speakers, including my friend Rob Sharkey, also known as Shark Farmer. Looking forward to people attending that event. The Lancaster, Minnesota Crop Improvement Association, it also has their event on Thursday. My business partner Jason Hansen will be speaking up there. So if you are in the neighborhood of northern Minnesota, swing in and hear what Jason has to say about looking forward into the 2025 cropping season. Later this week in Orlando, Florida, will be the Potato Expo 2025. And in fact, there will also be FarmCon in Kansas City. It's put on by the Van Trump Group. Here's the part where Jace can make fun of me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be down there. I'll be braving the snow and ice, and I'm going because I was asked to attend as one of the 50 most influential in ag social media.
Oh, imagine wow. that. That's Bridget's awesome. Going to go somewhere. She's not going to talk, but she's going to get honored with an award. So there's that.
It. You deserve it, Bridget. Cool.
Well, thank you. And thank you to all the listeners who ask great questions, bring things to my attention. I hope on Thursday morning when I call back in, I'm able to tell you not only about the businesses that will be attending FarmCon, folks like Susan Stroud, she's the founder of No Bull. Jake Jorstead, CEO of Bushel, right here out of Fargo. Folks who are from Rabo Bank Finance, and so many who are also a part of banking, finance, marketing, and so forth for farmers to be looking ahead for the 2025 growing season. Also, keynote speakers will include Jim Craig from the 1980 Olympic Miracle on Ice Gold Hockey Team, Duncan Wardle, he's the head of innovation and creativity for Disney, and Ken Schmidt, Harley-Davidson Motor Company's communications director. So all folks that bring great business sense, because remember, we got to run our farms like businesses, and I'm looking forward to hearing what they have to say.
Oh, yeah.
So
you flew, right? You're not having to drive on those icy roads that they have out there, or you're flying, I should say.
I'll be driving. Actually, this morning I'm at a different event, but I'm driving down tomorrow to Missouri, so pray for me.
hopefully it's better by then. Yeah.
I have called ahead to several people asking them to clean that business up before I arrive.
You tell them, Bridget.
So I can only hope for the best by the time I get there. one last thing. As we listen to stories about the war between Ukraine and Russia, we know the toll that it has taken locally on people who are living right there. But also, we haven't thought about the stakes that are so high for folks food-wise. In a study from the United Nations Food and Ag Organization, models suggest that more than 13 million people were malnourished due to the war in Russia and Ukraine. Ukraine's lost production of three winter cereals crops has made a huge difference in the caloric count of 76 million adults. The study also revealed that regarding wheat, barley, and oats, the war has a much greater impact on distant countries than those right next to Ukraine. So those who have suffered really are lower-income nations in Africa. The reason they're suffering is because Ukraine was producing a wheat that was of, I hate to say lower quality, but certainly different, and we're selling to those nations cheaper than the wheat that we would raise here in the U.S. or Canada. Some of the countries that have been significantly affected would include Sierra Leone, the Democratic Republic of Congo and Somalia, Albania, Belarus, and more. And so with those problems, we know that additional aid has been given to some of those countries in order to try to help them afford to buy exports from places like the United States, Canada, and Australia as well, in order to help feed those nations. So that war brings out more than just what happens in its local areas. It really has expanded globally and affected a lot more as far as exports are concerned. So that's likely a topic of discussion that will continue through the farm trade show season this winter. So when we talk about just the ones happening this week, there's plenty. But then as we go later into the month of January, we will have the Certified Crop Advisors Workshop that'll be put on by, or Advanced Crop Advisors Workshop, excuse me, put on by NDSU later this month. We'll also have the Wide World of Weeds. Then we lead into some of the big trade shows, such as National Cattlemen's Beef Association, the beginning of February. Agronomy on Ice will be February 5th at Devil's Lake. Commodity Classic will be the first part of March in Denver, and so many more. So stick with me. I'll be at a bunch of them, and I'll be able to share with you what's happening at each and every location.
What's coming up, Weather and Ag Radio, 1 to 2 today, Bridget?
We get to visit with Mike Fitzgibbon. He's with the Mid-America Windmill Museum. I don't know about you, but I didn't even know there was a windmill museum until I found Mike. And windmills play such a significant role in the development of homestead areas in the prairies. I'm looking forward to hearing him tell us the story of kind of where the windmills came from, how they developed, and the uniqueness of each one, because we might be familiar with just one style, but there are actually hundreds that are spread out across the area. So I look forward to hearing what he has to share.
And hopefully you can tell us how to keep Don Quixote away from your windmill.
That would be best. Mm-hmm. And if you have questions or pictures of your favorite windmill and you want to know more about it, send them to me, ag@flagfamily.com. I'll bring them up to Mike today.
And Bridget, one of the many people who stepped up when you were battling back from your heart attack, Jace, she got up early, came in extra early, and was my sidekick one of those mornings.
Just once, and that kind of says a lot.
Well,
right?
I didn't want to take advantage because she lives so far out of town, and it was a big ask for both her and Jay Thomas.
That's not what I heard. That's not what I heard, Bridget. Sorry.
So the truth is, I'm just that lazy. So.
Really, she's not. Thanks, Bridget.
Have a great day, folks.
You too. Yeah, I didn't want to, like I said, it takes her 40 minutes to get here. She had to get up extra early, so I didn't want to take advantage. Same with Jay Thomas. He puts in long days to begin with, but Jay was sweet enough to come in 2 days in a row, too, to help. I basically voluntold him.
He was so nice to come in, but I had told him he had to. Okay, I got it.
Kind of like the boss.
Yeah, pretty much.
JT is now Buddy. I call him Buddy. Hey, Buddy, can you come in and hang out with me? No, I need you these days. Usually he was told to. 7:31, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Yes, you are hearing the voice of Jace Denman. He is back on the air with us on Bonnie and Friends. And thanks to all of you for all the thoughts and prayers and well wishes that you gave to him. He's starting back on Bonnie and Friends, and he'll work his way back into sports with Big Game James McCarty. Dina will be in a couple of minutes with your WDAY weather. And be listening for the Eagle Sounder with the phone number attached. When you hear that, be caller number 7. We will get you qualified for the Desperado Vegas Dream Trip presented by American Security and Gate, brought to you in part by Frontier Airlines and Kingpin Social. Our big winner will be announced coming up on Wednesday night. So your turn to get qualified here, kind of getting kind of slim, but keep on listening through Wednesday here on the radio for an opportunity to get qualified. Also, if you want to go over to Kingpin Social between 3 and 5 this afternoon, Janae is going to be set up there. You can register, and she will draw 2 qualifiers tonight. And also, your final opportunity, if you don't get through on the radio, you can come to Kingpin Social on Wednesday from 3 to 5. Big Game James McCarty and myself will be there. Again, register, and we will pick 2 more qualifiers. And if you've been qualified or you get qualified, make sure you show up at Kingpin Social this Wednesday at 5:30 for our big party and our big winner announcement. Plan to spend several hours there with us, your favorite personalities, right here on WDAY Radio. We are looking forward to it. 7:34.
Time for a check on your local weather with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. Dino?
Yeah, it's a cold one out there. If you have any travel plans going west, let's say west of a Minot-Bismarck line, there is some scattered slippery travel out in the far western part of the state. Due to a little light snow out there, that's moving southward, though, not eastward. So we're not going to see any snow out of that. We'll see a few clouds from that system late today into tonight. But other than that, we're looking at a partly cloudy day. We're currently sitting at 8 below with a wind chill about 20 below. It's a cold one. We'll make it up to about 7 above today. That's it. Sorry. Northwest winds on the light side. Cloudy tonight, 2 below. And then Tuesday, partly cloudy, about 6 above, with northwest winds 5 to 15, producing wind chills between 10 and 20 below. Then we start our warm-up. Big six, big 16 on Wednesday, and then we're in the 20s on Thursday. A little light snow or flurries on Thursday, half inch or less out of that, not a big deal. And then we'll stay in the teens to near 20. That's about normal as we head into the upcoming weekend. A chance of a stronger clipper system coming in here over the weekend. Not looking at a huge storm, but again, you get 1 to 3 inches in windy conditions. That could pose a problem with blowing snow, reduced visibility. So we'll keep a close eye on that over the weekend. And then colder weather follows that to start next week. So we're in typical January mode. It's nothing, you know, record-breaking right. or anything like that. But it's cold. I mean, we had wind chills over the weekend. We're about 30 below.
Yikes.
Yeah. We had those cold weather advisory slash wind chill advisory that was in effect over the weekend. But other than that, it's January. No big storms on the horizon. And again, I don't see any big storms the rest of the month, according to the LRC. February and March probably hold a little different tune. But we need the moisture, whether it's snow, rain. We don't want ice, that's for sure. But we just need the moisture. And I, like I said, I think the back half of winter into early spring, that's when we'll start to see our better chances of moisture in the area. I'm still concerned about the summer. I mean, you know, into early spring is going to be very important because I do think this is going to be an above normal temperature regime and probably drier, a slightly drier than normal summer as well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Dino.
You bet.
Weather is brought to you by Jiffy Lube of Fargo, locally owned and operated with 3 convenient Fargo locations, and you never need an appointment. Jiffy Lube of Fargo, where you can do more in a jiffy.
We're going to get your national news in from ABC. Jace will check out your WDAY radio sports, and Dino's back with your 3-degree guarantee. All right, Donna, the latest person to get qualified for our Desperado Vegas Dream Trip presented by American Security and Gate, brought to you by Frontier Airlines and Kingpins. You got a number of chances. Keep on listening all the way through Wednesday to hear to WDAY Radio to get qualified, or stop in and see Janae at Kingpins from 3 to 5 this afternoon. Fill out the registration. She will pick 2 qualifiers. Jace is back, you guys. And
hey.
We're excited. I posted your picture on our Bonnie and Friends Facebook page.
I still look the same. Don't worry, folks.
You look good, and a lot of people are commenting on that. Glad to hear you back.
Yep. All right. Last night, the Minnesota Vikings fans went to bed early. Because,
I'm still tired. I stayed up too late waiting for that game.
Detroit Lions win 31-9. They take the NFC North title. They take the NFC's number one seed heading into the playoffs, which means they get a bye week next weekend. Try and get some more guys back healthy for the Lions team that's awfully banged up. But for some reason last night, I don't know if it was just because Alex Azzalone, came back for the Lions defense, but the Vikings got inside the red zone 4 different times. Twice I know they were inside the 5, and they went for it on 4th down. They end up with only 2 field goals in those 4 red zone trips. That's a huge difference in the game right there. Sam Darnold struggled, 18 of 41 for 166 yards. Ivan Pace did lead the team with 10 tackles and an interception, but that wasn't enough. Jahmyr Gibbs, he was all over the place last night. You couldn't stop that guy. He had 139 yards and 3 touchdowns on the ground, plus 31 yards receiving and 1 touchdown. Vikings now is the number 5 seed. Will visit the 4th seeded Los Angeles Rams in the wild card round on Monday, January 13th. Kickoff slated for 7 p.m. PGA Tour, Hideki Matsuyama set a course record, winning the tournament after shooting 35 under. Tom Hoge finished the weekend tied for 8th at 23 under. He ended up with over $500,000 in prize money. Tour will stay in Hawaii for the Sony Open in Honolulu beginning on Thursday. Those poor guys. Timberwolves are back in action tonight. They welcome the Clippers back to Target Center. Timberwolves are struggling to find their identity and make everything work after the big trade this offseason. They are 17-17. They need to find a way to find some consistency. Your Fargo Force this weekend, they split a weekend series against 2 different teams in Iowa. They first fell to Sioux City Musketeers 3-1 on Saturday, but Sunday they followed up with an impressive 7-4 win against the Des Moines Buccaneers. This Friday and Saturday, 7:05, 6:05 puck drops respectively. Fargo Force will be hosting those same Des Moines Buccaneers at Shields Arena. Stay tuned later this week for a chance to win tickets to those games. Let's see. This week we also have college football playoffs with the big boys, Penn State against Notre Dame in the Orange Bowl on Thursday night, and then followed by Friday night's Texas versus Ohio State. College basketball tonight, the University of Minnesota Golden Gophers will be taking on Ohio State at 8 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. The women defeated Illinois 68-61. Head coach Don Plitzowitz has her 400th career win. Also this weekend, MSUM Dragons men's and women's both dropped a pair of games this weekend, so they'll try and look to rebound this coming weekend. Morehead Spuds Athletics on WDY Radio with Larry Knutson. Tomorrow at 6 p.m., the boys' hockey team takes on Bemidji, and then Thursday, the girls' hockey team will take on Bemidji at 6 p.m. But the main entree for the sports world today here in Fargo, and that is the FCS National Championship. Number one ranked undefeated Montana State versus number two ranked North Dakota State, 6 p.m. on ESPN. Be sure to tune in, which is going to be a great game down in Frisco. James will be there live and in person watching it, and he'll give a report to us probably tomorrow morning about how things went. And tonight, you can tune in to Track Talk from 6:30 to 8 p.m. with Jason Berg on WDAY Radio. He'll get you up to speed on everything happening in the local racing scene.
You bet. And we'll get another FCS championship preview from Big Game James McCarty right around 8:10 this morning. Brought to you by North Dakota Estate Services. Affordable, focused. Visit ndestateservices.com. What?
Sports are brought to you by Valley Imports and Valley Pre-Owned, your best price leader in the region. Find your next vehicle at valleyimports.com.
You're bossy for only being back on the air for three hours here.
I got to mention Valley Imports.
Somebody's got to.
They sold me a vehicle, Bonnie. I've got firsthand experience.
Somebody's got to put her in her place. Thank you.
And she had her head turned. She wasn't even looking at me.
Of course, she's in her own little world over
ignoring
there.
Ignoring you. I know, I've had enough of you already. It's been almost 3 hours I've been spending with you. Somebody needs to put me in my place, and it's not going to be Wysocki, that's for darn sure. He's got your 3-degree guarantee coming up next. 7:46, time now for your 3-degree guarantee with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. Jace is back, so he gets to keep track of you, because Dean cheats some days, and then I just bounce him back.
Weren't you keeping track while I was gone?
Yeah, but he cheated. Like, he's like, oh, I'm not coming in because it's the holiday, so blah, 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 blah.
Well, she wanted a 3-degree for that Wednesday, and I was off on Wednesday. Well,
so I got the one off the webpage, and he didn't want to use the one, even though he put it on the webpage.
Yeah, I said I wanted to change it.
So he's up to, if he gets the one right from Friday, he'll be at two in a row.
It's more than that.
No, you have been stinking it up since Jace has been gone.
You're off your rocker.
You have your record that I have on record is 30 days in a row you were correct.
Scratch that.
And okay. Well,
it's 2025, so we're starting fresh right now.
He wants to start you at zero. I had you at two in a row.
I mean, I'll give him two. That's fine, but whatever.
Well, let's go back to Friday. We were forecasting three above, and our actual high on Friday was three above.
All right.
So now that's two in a row.
You just said I had two in
a row. No, if you had it right from Friday, then it was two in a row.
You're off your rocker, I swear. I'll show you the sheet I have in the office.
Cheat.
We're looking at today of seven, partly cloudy. Northwest wind on the light side. It's going to be a cold one. We've got wind chills right now about 20 below, so bundle up as you're heading out. Again, today's 3-degree guarantee, 7 above.
All right. And your 3-degree guarantee brought to you by the window and door store.
It is so much easier with you here because you remember things when I forget things.
I forgot a lot of things.
No.
I'm trying to remember them now.
No, you're doing really good. You're good backup. James did a good job, too.
Oh, yeah. James knows what he's doing.
But, yeah, there's a lot of things that you do and pay attention for, but I had to do everything when you were gone.
I know.
These guys were heavy.
I know.
No, they did a great job.
That's the biggest thing that came out of everything that happened with my heart is the fact that people actually realized I did do something.
Yes, you did. You did that. No, but I'm super appreciative for all of our friends out there and our coworkers, too. Janae, Big Game James McCarty, Jay Thomas. We had Bridget that stepped up to help when you were gone. Had my friend Roy come in. Our friend Sharon, our listener who came in and filled in for you one day too. Yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah,
I'm glad you're back though. It's getting to be a lot.
I know, I'm sure.
It was.
At least we got some consistency now, right?
So I took this picture of you and I posted it on Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Jace is back. A lot of people commenting on that. It's great to have you back. And you made some comment to me about your eyes, and it's like, I had to get my new driver's license picture on Friday. Last time I did it, 4 years ago, the lady had to take my picture six times because my eyes were closed in every single one. So I had my eyes open really wide, looked like a deer caught in the headlights, but it actually is really good. But now I have I don't know if it's multiple chins or this massive neck. And then, like, when you fill it out.
You should probably squat down a little bit so that way the camera's looking down on you, because that's what makes you look thinner, I've learned, is that you got to get
it. Yeah, but who thinks about that after the fact?
I would think about it beforehand. I want to make sure I take a good photo, Bonnie. Come on.
What I was trying to think about, when they ask you to fill in your height and weight, are you supposed to put the weight that you want to be or the weight that you are?
Well,
asking for a friend.
I don't know, because I keep putting the height I want, and they're like, no, that's not even close.
Good morning, friend. Who's this?
Morning, Bonnie. Al.
Hi, Al. How are you?
I'm good. I'm freezing my little tushy off moving trailers, but other than that, I'm good.
Cold. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, I was going to bring back some gifts for him, but realized that everything from Wisconsin would be bad for his heart. You know, the cheese
high curds, sodium, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and the spotted cow, that'd be bad for him too, you know. So,
aren't you supposed to be in Mexico where it's warmer?
No, next week.
Oh, not until you decided to just stick around for this cold snap? Or
You know, I would miss you guys, you know, so I just postponed it.
Well, you can take us with on the mobile app to Mexico.
There you go.
Oh, well, when I'm on the beach there, you think I'm going to listen to the radio?
Yes.
Well, I mean,
rude.
You should be on the beach by 5 a.m. every morning.
Yeah. No. No, I'll hook you up with some good vanilla, and you know, and you'll be good.
There you go.
You're the best, Al. Mm-hmm.
Okay, guys, you have a good day.
You
Thanks,
too.
Al.
Good hearing from you. It is 7:51. Yeah. So, and they've the Moorhead Clay County DMV. Mm-hmm. It moved recently, so it's over by the wind turbines, up by the baseball fields up north. But when I had to get mine a few years back, they were having some issues with backup and stuff. And that was the time that I remember I sat there for like 5 hours and 40 minutes. It was really bad. And then they got it fixed and ironed out. But this time, I even made an appointment. I was in and out, I want to say, within 15 minutes.
Yep.
And not only did I need my new driver's license, I had to get new plates because my plates have gotten kind of wrecked in the car wash stuff. So I had to do that 15 minutes in and out. It was slick.
Yeah, I think the last time I went to the DMV was probably during 2020, early 21 or whatever it was. But I made an appointment to get in there and do it. And man, you can zip in and out of there. Mm-hmm. Just take your picture and your eye test and you're done. So
More than are you guys thinking of changing jobs this year? I'm not. I'm going to stay. Are you going to stay here? I'm going to stay here.
I like no comment.
Job. More than a third of workers are considering job changes this year. We'll talk about it in your Money and Markets coming up next. And now that the holiday weeks have wrapped up, Brian Kronk, managing partner of Collins & Kronk, will join us back in studio coming up at 7:45 Wednesday on Bonnie and Friends. Opening bell rings this morning as the first full trading week of the year gets underway. Wall Street closed higher Friday after a volatile start to the new year. Tech stocks helped boost the market with chip maker NVIDIA up more than 4%. Tesla shares jumped nearly 7% as stocks rebounded in a broad rally to end the week. Shares of U.S. Steel fell about 5%. At the close, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 339 points. S&P 500 was up 73, and the NASDAQ climbed 340 points.
Interesting. Coming up in the business week ahead, things start off slow with not much on the schedule today, but we'll get data on job openings and the U.S. trade deficit tomorrow. Wednesday brings the release of the minutes from the Fed's December meeting, the ADP employment report, and the latest consumer credit numbers. Weekly jobless claims are due Thursday, and the week wraps up Friday with the monthly jobs report. Most analysts expect to see 155,000 new jobs created compared to the previous month's 227,000. The unemployment rate is expected to remain unchanged at 4.2%.
Are you thinking of switching jobs this year? If so, you are not alone. According to the Global Talent Barometer from Manpower, over a third of workers are considering job switches. It asked more than 12,000 workers across 16 countries. For younger workers between 18 and 27, it's closer to one half who are planning a job change this year. Meanwhile, over 4 in 10 remote workers who tend to report better well-being and work-life balance reported themselves likely to change jobs.
All right. This is serious. This affects a lot of people in North Dakota and upper Midwest that like to enjoy adult beverages.
Yes.
So brace yourself. You might want to sit down for this, folks. Alcoholic beverage companies' stock took a hit on Friday following the U.S. Surgeon General's recommendation to add cancer warning labels on alcohol products. Mm. Boston Beer Company, the producer of Angry Orchard, Truly Hard Seltzer, Samuel Adams, and Twisted Tea saw a nearly 4% drop.
Ooh.
Canadian-American brewer Molson Coors, producer of Miller Lite and Coors Light, stock fell 3%, and Jack Daniel's whiskey fell 2.5% in trading value. Hmm. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy said alcohol consumption is the third leading preventable cause of cancer in the U.S. behind tobacco and obesity. Murthy warned that alcohol raises the risk of for seven types of cancer affecting the breast, colorectum, esophagus, liver, mouth, throat, and voice box.
Hmm, interesting. Something we can ask Brian Cronk about Wednesday at 7:45. It is 7:57. We are going to get your news in next. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is along next after that with a check on your cold forecast. When will the cold break? We'll find out from Dino coming up in just a couple of minutes. 8:02, time now for a check on our chilly forecast with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki.
Yeah, we've got temperatures outside between 7 and 14 below. Wind chills about 21 below. It's a cold start to the morning, and we're going to start off with plenty of sunshine, then turn partly cloudy today. There's a little clipper system out in the western part of the state, which has produced a little slippery travel. Williston, Dickinson areas have some snow cover on the roads out in the far western part of the state if you're going out that way. But that's going to dive south into South Dakota, so not affecting us. We'll just see a little bit of cloud cover from that today. Highs only around 7 above with a northwest wind on the light side. Tonight, cloudy skies down to about 2 below with light northwest winds, and northwest winds about 5 to 15 tomorrow. Under partly cloudy skies, we'll have a high of 6 above, but with those wind chills tomorrow, about 10 to 20 below. So another cold day tomorrow. But we'll start a slow climb out of the deep freeze as we head into Wednesday. We'll have highs in the teens and then low to mid-20s on Thursday. A little bit of light snow possible, half inch or less. And then as we head into the weekend, highs in the upper teens to around 20. A better chance for some light snow over the weekend with a slightly stronger clipper system, which could bring us some measurable snow. Yeah, on the order right now, it looks like about 1 to 3 inches. Doesn't look like a big deal, but could have some wind behind that system. So that's something we'll be watching for the weekend. But at least we'll get out of the deep freeze as we head towards the weekend.
All right. Thanks, Dino.
I got some good news.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine.
It's fine.
You're never happy, are you? You're just never happy.
You never it's want a fine. Woman to hear it's fine, right?
It's fine.
Then you know you're in trouble.
You know what I don't understand? I don't understand. You're a drop-dead, gorgeous, beautiful lady. I'm sure you've got a beautiful or handsome husband who takes care of you left
what do
and
you
right.
Want? Why don't you go
and
away?
And yet you're just not
what
happy.
Do you want? I am happy. I got Jace back.
Okay, there you go.
Now
see?
He can half put up with you. I don't have to have all of you. It is 8:04. Big game. James McCarty is in Frisco. We'll preview the FCS championship game tonight between #1 Montana State and #2 NDSU. That game, 6 o'clock tonight on ESPN. James's preview is brought to you by North Dakota Estate Services, affordable, focused. Visit ndestateservices.com. Nader from Kingpin Social is going to be joining us in a couple of minutes, too. That's because they are hosting our Eagles Desperado Dream Trip giveaway. That's coming up Wednesday night. If you're not yet qualified, you still have some opportunities. Be listening to WDAY Radio all day long, today, tomorrow, and Wednesday for your chance to get in. Or swing on over to Kingpin Social. Janae will be set up from 3 to 5 today, getting you qualified. You get to fill out a registration form. She'll draw two qualifiers. And your absolute last opportunity coming up Wednesday, Big Game James McCarty and I will be over at Kingpin Social 3 to 5. Also, your last chance to get qualified, we'll draw two qualifiers from that as well on Wednesday. And then if you do get qualified or you have been qualified already, make sure you show up at Kingpin Social this Wednesday beginning at 5:30 for our big party there. We're going to have some appetizers, games to play there, whatnot going on. It's going to be a really good time. And then, of course, we reveal our winner coming up, probably about 8:45 is what the boss told us. It is 8:06 right now, your national news from ABC. 8:09, our big giveaway is coming up this Wednesday. The Eagles Desperado Vegas Dream Trip presented by American Security and Gate, brought to you in part by Frontier Airlines, Kingpin Social, Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman, and we're joined by Nader Mousavi, Director of Operations at Kingpin Social. Good morning to you again, Nader.
Good morning. Good to see you guys again.
Absolutely. We're super excited. We are jacked
so
for
are
Wednesday
we.
Night.
Honestly, so are we. We're so looking forward to it. We've been planning this for a while. Excited to see everybody come out. Excited to see who wins. you know, obviously Vegas is my home, so it's, I love seeing people go back there and have some fun. And if anybody needs any ideas or things to do, let me know. I'll be there all night. I'll give you some suggestions of place to visit.
There you go. And I know, like, you've been, like, visiting with us in small groups. Are you ready for all the quirky personalities that are within this building here to be in Kingpin Social all at the same time?
We are so looking forward to it. Absolutely we are. We are. I mean, trust us, you're going to get to meet some of our quirkiness, myself included, you know, away from the radio when I could be a little bit more myself.
Yeah, well... That's okay. It's going to be fun. We're looking forward to it. And, of course, we're continuing to get people qualified. Janae is going to be at Kingpin Social from 3 to 5 today, getting people registered, and then she'll draw two qualifiers. James and I will do last chance 3 to 5 on Wednesday, and then our big party on Wednesday night beginning at 5:30. So everybody that gets qualified gets to come over there. But I was there last week broadcasting. I know that was your day off, but wow, the elite suite and that little interactive floor, that's cool.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, that interactive floor is probably the most used space in the building. It's one of the coolest things that we've ever seen. It's such great a play on it. All the kids love it. But yeah, the elite suite, we're so proud of what we've done to that. I mean, it is just totally transformed into this beautiful little space. So again, kudos to the guys over at Media Shack for everything that they've done for us and our team as well. You know, my maintenance and engineering team have been in there painting it and getting it all ready for Wednesday's big event. So
yeah, we're looking forward to it. So if somebody wants to rent out the elite suites, what's all included in that?
So you get the 6 VIP lanes, you get your own bar and your own bartender. We can do 75 people seated, 125 people mingling. We could do plated dinners in there. We could do buffet style in there. So just give Ashley a call, and Ashley can get you guys set up. We're always pretty booking pretty fast over there, but we got days available. So give us a call. A great place for team building, a late Christmas party, groom's dinners, after wedding receptions like that. It's actually a really fun place. And
are
it's a lot of fun.
Bowling Wednesday night too?
You guys are bowling Wednesday night. The lanes will be on. The whole facility is open to you guys, obviously, but the lanes will be on and you'll have your bartender. We're going to have some pizzas and stuff in there for your qualifiers. So you guys get a chance to taste some of our new pizzas that Chef has created. So it's going to be it's going to be a good time. Looking forward to it.
Is this the same menu that you guys have over at Barron's, or are there two separate menus then?
So it's the same menu throughout the building. There's a bowling and lounge menu. It's a little bit more condensed. We're always about speed of service and making sure that we can get everything out to our guests. But everything comes out of the Barron's kitchen. Everything comes from Chef Chris's creations.
James and I were out at Barron's last year for our NFL draft special, and food was excellent. It's a great space over there. So if you're not into bowling, you can go over to Barron's and sit and have a cocktail, get something to eat.
Absolutely.
It was really impressive being over there. I haven't been over there since, obviously, last April. But, I mean, it's just a fantastic space. Obviously, you're next to the guys over at Sweet Shots and whatnot. So that whole area right there is really entertainment central.
It truly is. And it's so great. And it's so great being next door to the guys of the Johnson Brothers over at Sweet Shots. Such a great group of guys. We so love our partnership with them and everything we do with them. And, we're creating a lot of fun things with them as well. We're putting some games over at the new sports complex, and then we kind of partnered with them and also with the hotel that's going up right next to us as well. So it is truly becoming an entertainment spot. It's a place that you can come, you could stay and play and eat and sleep and do everything you want to do in that little area.
What is the hotel that's going up there?
Spring Hill Suite. Sorry.
Spring Hill Suite.
It took me a second.
Those are nice hotels.
It's 8 o'clock in the morning. I haven't finished my Red Bull yet. So that's all in that little area.
That's going to be so nice. Yeah, if you're coming in from out of town and you want to have some family fun, like you said, a great idea is late Christmas parties or whatever. You get together, go to Kingpin's, have some food, have some fun. You can stay right over there at the hotel once that's finished and just have a nice little family getaway inside the Fargo-Moorhead area.
Absolutely. And it's great. I mean, it's right by the highway, so it's easy access, easy access to the rest of the town as well. Especially if you're coming to visit Fargo. I mean, there's so many things to do. We obviously want you to hang out in our little circle as much as you can. But, it's absolutely such a great addition.
And you got laser tag over there as well. You got
escape rooms.
Arcade featuring 70 different games. Like Bonnie said, the multiple escape rooms. I mean, there's a ton of stuff to do over there. I mean, I was like I said, when I came there last year, I was blown away at all the things that are over there. Now you guys have added to it over this last year as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're still adding too. We have some new games coming in the next month or so. So we are just constantly changing. Obviously, they change over the Elite Suite, bringing new games in. And then, you know, obviously add into as much as we can. But yeah, yeah. You could spend an entire day there, and, mm-hmm. and that's yep. what we want you to do. We yeah. want you to come have fun, yep. Grab a bite to eat, play until your kids get exhausted so they can go to bed early. Well, and that's what we're there for.
The thing about this, too, when I was getting people qualified last week, I had about a half dozen people who were like, this is the first time I've been in here. This is amazing. Like, Diane was absolutely blown away. And the thing is, it's not noisy. Like, if you go in, it's the building, but like Barron's Eatery, it's kind of like closed off and you're not getting like kids running around. It's quiet in
yeah,
there. Considering
very much so. Yeah. No, it truly is. Yeah. We've always said it's a great place to just go and mm-hmm. with your significant other and grab a bite to eat and have yeah. a nice cocktail. And it's also a great place to bring your family. And, mm-hmm. and again, mom and dad can hang out and have a drink and have some fun, and the kids can be out running around and playing. And, you know, the staff is welcoming very much
yes.
so of that.
Mm-hmm. Like, we've got a great staff over there.
We want everybody to have fun. I mean, mm-hmm. that's, you know, we preach that every day. And everybody that's in that building truly enjoys being in that building. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll see the smile on our faces mm-hmm. as we watch little yep. kids play in the interactive.
Yep, yep.
And everybody from, you know, from the one-year-old that's kind of stumbling around and having fun to the, you know, we have...
Oh, I saw some grandpas that were, yeah, 50, 60, 70-year-olds that were
myself,
on the interactive
floor. Yeah, I'm 51. I still love yeah, having yeah. fun. I get the blessing of walking past that all the time, and I will step on some airplanes. And I
was stepping on some fish when yeah. I was there the other day. So.
I do it every day.
Come check it out. Yeah, and check out their food. We should also mention you've got Sunday brunches every week.
We have Sunday brunches from 10 to 2 every Sunday.
Very good. Anything else, Nader?
No, that's about it. Just come out and qualify today, and then we'll see you guys on Wednesday.
Sounds awesome. We are so looking forward to it. Our WDAY Radio Desperado Vegas Dream Trip, our big giveaway, is coming up this Wednesday. Be there at 5:30 if you got yourself qualified. And if you haven't been qualified quite yet, just hang in there. There's a number of opportunities. Be listening to WDAY Radio through Wednesday. Or stop in at Kingpin Social. Janae will be there from 3 to 5 this afternoon. Fill out a registration. It's a real quick process. She will draw two qualifiers, and James and I will do last chance on Wednesday from 3 to 5, last opportunity to get yourself qualified. Speaking of James, Big Game James McCarty on the line with us right now. We've got the big FCS championship game tonight. Number one, Montana State. Number two, NDSU. 6 o'clock on ESPN. And our preview here with James brought to you by North Dakota Estate Services. Affordable focus. Visit ndestateservices.com. What do you want to tell us now, Jimmy?
Well, it's warming up. It's 22 degrees outside right now, and the sun is starting to shine. So we are feeling like we're back home. We're enjoying ourselves. Saw a couple of Montana State fans. I went and grabbed breakfast about a half hour or so ago and a cup of coffee. But, yeah, right after I get done with you guys, I'm going to run downstairs, throw on my flannel. I'm going to go see what bit of crowd I can find this early in the morning, making sure everybody's up and ready to roll for this evening's game, because you can't party all day if you don't start in the morning. That's what I've been told.
Throw on your flannel. At first, I'm like, you're putting on your flannel jammies to go downstairs? You had me confused there, Jimmy.
No, I flannel everything. I am the definition of a flannel, I suppose, connoisseur of sorts. So it's not my heavy duty flannel. It's more of my middle grade style flannel, because of course, even though Dean told me so, I was still expecting it to be in the 40s here this morning. And you know what? I'll pay for it in the back end, and that's all right. You guys will enjoy my suffering of sorts, because maybe I dressed a little bit lighter, and hopefully I make it through the day.
Well, you look good on those videos, the fan cams, with your teeth chattering.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna look like a little Halloween kind of, you know, skeleton chatter, but that's all right. I'm hoping to run into some Bison fans here this morning and have conversations with a few of them, just to feel out how the travel went for them, what they're planning on doing this afternoon before the game, and then of course what everybody's thoughts are and plans are for a prediction of this game, and then also their travel home. You know, are a lot of people driving? Are they flying? I haven't seen a ton of local license plates, so I think there's more flying going on than maybe what there had been previously, but, you know, that's just my hunch right now. I'm going to find out more today.
I would imagine the trash talking, if it hasn't started yet, we'll see that ramping up throughout the day.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of the fun bantering back and forth where, you look at, well, you know what, you know, we won a championship more recently, but now Montana State's quarterback is the national player of the year. So, you've got those fun banters back and forth. They're really enjoyable. But as you had mentioned, if you do go to WDAYRadioNow.com, you click on either the sports tab or you go over to the hot links area, you'll be able to go to that Gate City Bank Frisco fan cam page that we have. And those conversations up right now with media members, with the coaches of both teams, with, of course, some of the players as well from the Bison, just some really fun conversations talking about their favorite memories, their excitement for the game that's happening this evening, and then, of course, the task at hand in the actual kickoff at 6 p.m.
Now, I'm looking at our pick six, which we won't announce our winner till tomorrow because we have to get this NDSU-Montana State game in. James, we know that you got beat up by MSUM people when you didn't pick them, so you by default went with NDSU. I want to find out where Jace sits because it looks like it's a half-and-half split where people think NDSU is going to win and the other half in our pick six think Montana State's going to win. Jace?
I said it's going to be 24-21.
Oh, that's right. I watched that video. And the person with the most points wins.
Yeah, the team with the most points wins, so that's all I can say. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, he was very forward-thinking in that prediction.
I know. I mean, Montana State beat my Coyotes in the semifinals, yet the Coyotes beat the Bison at the end of the regular season. So, I mean, obviously this game is going to be close. I really honestly don't have any kind of gut feeling, but you know, it's what they say, you never bet against the Bison. So I would not be surprised to see NDSU come back with FCS championship number 10. At the same time, with Tommy Mellott and the way that Montana State team has played this season, especially going back to week one where they were trailing late against New Mexico State and they came back and won that game, I wouldn't be surprised to see Montana State win the game as well. So, I mean, it could literally go either way. It's going to come down to those splash plays and then the big turnovers, who is able to benefit more from those plays.
Yeah, the closer to kickoff we get, the more predictions you see from people. You watch the spread slightly shift. It's at 3.5 and minus 3.5 for Montana State right now. I just keep coming back to two quarterbacks who are four-year starters, who are finalists for the Walter Payton Award, of course, one of which, and Tommy Mellott from Montana State winning it on Saturday evening. I just keep circling back to whichever of those quarterbacks keeps the chains moving and doesn't commit the big mistake, whether that's a turnover on downs on a 4th-and-1 or it's an interception in the red zone, something of those sorts that ends a drive that could have gotten points. I think that's going to be the difference in this game. One of those guys, I think, is going to play more mistake-free than the other, and whichever does that of the two is going to be the one hoisting that championship somewhere in that 9:30, 10 o'clock realm tonight.
This is exciting. 6 o'clock ESPN tonight.
Prime time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm excited to see how everything goes because, you know, I've been a part of a couple of them where it's been a Saturday afternoon at a, you know, 11 a.m. It's been a Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. or noon or whichever. I kind of mix them all up at this point. But we've never seen I've never personally seen a championship game under the lights on a Monday in primetime like this. It brings me back to when I was growing up. It feels like the BCS National Championship watching, you know, whether it's, you know, Alabama or it's, you know, LSU and Oklahoma in the early 2010s and late 2000s, the Texas, you know, championships. And I'm excited to see and get that feel kind of like those other schools in the other division of Division One.
Yeah, I think it's big for this game to end up at 6 o'clock on a Monday. I mean, I think it's a perfect time for it based on where the FBS playoffs are kind of just in the semifinals this week, et cetera. But I think it gives a nice platform. The only football game on TV tonight, I know that last night, I think it was during the Vikings game or some other game I was watching on ESPN where they were promoting it, that it was coming on tonight. So I think it's a good opportunity for the FCS to showcase the quality and the talent of the teams and the players at this level, because a lot of time football fans don't really think about the smaller schools. And yet every year in the NFL, James, our teams, the Vikings, Bucks, et cetera, they always find guys at the FCS, at the Division II, sometimes even the Division III level that can be professional football players. So I think it's a good platform to let everybody see the product.
Yeah, definitely. I think about the Vikings have drafted, you know, players out of Slippery Rock. I remember Ben Barth, or Barch, excuse me, who was a St. John's, Minnesota offensive lineman. You think about different guys of those effects. And of course, the Bison with a half a dozen offensive linemen in the league right now. Montana State's got a couple of guys on each side of the football as well. South Dakota State, of course, when you're watching, you know, Christian Watson from the Bison and Tucker Kraft from the Jackrabbits playing for the same team in Green Bay. As much as I don't like Green Bay, it's cool to see those guys having their success. And it all started when they were playing in the subdivision and then also in national championship games like we're going to have tonight.
All right. How do we follow your reports, James?
Yeah, well, you just stay tuned to our airwaves. Otherwise, you go to WDAYRadioNow.com. You have your Hot Links tab where you can get to the Gate City Bank Frisco Fan Cab actual link, or you can go to the sports tab, and everything is locked and loaded right there for you as well.
All right, go Bison. Thank you, James.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
You bet. Big Game James McCarty. His preview brought to you by North Dakota Estate Services. Affordable focus. Visit ndestateservices.com, 825. We're going to head to the American Ag Network. Then Janae and Ronnie slide in from the Coffee Club. We find out what they have planned on today's show. 828 Coffee Club, Janae and Ronnie. They're sliding in the studio. They're coming up next. Good morning to the two of you. Happy Monday.
Good morning. Happy Monday. Oh, Jace, it's so good to see you.
It's good to be seen.
It's so good to see you.
It is. It's great
behind
to have
that microphone.
It's what I do.
It is, isn't it?
And he sounds the same.
You were hoping for a different voice?
No, but you sound good.
I mean, it wasn't a voice thing that happened to him.
You're not even out of practice. You sound good.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
It's like riding a bike, right?
Well, it's hard when you come back, and like even from a week vacation, and you were gone for over 2 months. 2 months and a week, to be exact. Yep. Thank you very much.
Well,
it's not like I had noticed or anything.
And I honestly didn't ever expect to see you back, just short of 2 months.
Yeah, well, I like to surprise people. I mean,
you did.
The Fargo Forum did an article on me when my wife and I went and sat with James. We watched him play against Minot State.
Yeah.
He got the article a little bit wrong saying that we were broadcasting that night, which
you
we weren't. But
yeah.
But yeah, everybody was surprised to see me there, which, I mean, I was surprised by some of the players and coaches coming up and saying hi and welcome back.
Absolutely.
So. But I mean, it was so good to see so many people.
Yes,
so.
Yes. But. Well, it's wonderful to have you back.
Yes, good to be back.
We're speaking of James, we'll be talking to him off and on today during the Coffee Club, live down at Frisco, doing his thing.
Yep. Previewing tonight's national championship.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Nader from Kingpins is going to be joining us today. It's small business. We have that going on as well. We might be taking a qualifier during the show.
Or they can stop by Kingpins 3 to 5 with you this afternoon.
Yep. And okay, let's admit it. I'm the fun one. So you all want to come hang out
with
me.
Just ask her. She'll tell you. Don't even ask her and she'll tell you.
Yeah, so I'll be at Kingpins today, 3 to 5, taking more qualifiers too. I'll be taking 2 qualifiers. So come see me. Come hang out with me. And, you know, our show, we just have a good time.
What do you got to say over there, Ronnie?
I'm still depressed from last night.
No,
oh, it was terrible.
Awful. Yeah.
I saw Ronnie's post this morning, so, yeah.
Oh,
he was not happy. Maybe that was last night, Ronnie, you posted.
I saw your post last night, too. It was awful.
I've begun a self-addressed stamped envelope with a letter to Kwesi Adolfo Mensa. Dear Kwesi, why? Yeah. Every year.
It was bad. It was real. They didn't even show up.
No. Darnold was not hitting his
What happened?
I don't know.
The Lions' defense was good. I mean.
Yeah, but they've been good all season. I think this is a prime example you have a team's number. Mm. And the last few matchups they've had with Detroit, they know everything Minnesota's going to do before they do.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's what happens when you play a division rival so many times.
Yeah. Twice a year. Yeah.
Yep. I mean,
but then don't you switch things up a little bit?
Well, you would think.
Try to.
Yeah.
But, you know, they kind of know your tendencies and what you're about.
That's why they should have switched it up and done the opposite of what they were doing.
We're over the Vikings.
See, I should go
over the Vikings until next week.
Are you going to run for it on 4th and 1?
No, we're going to pass it to nobody.
Yeah, I think tonight's game is going to be a lot more exciting. Yes.
Oh, I think it's going to be a good game.
Tune in. All right. Stay tuned for the Coffee Club, Jace. It's good to have you back.
You're welcome on back.
Are you coming back tomorrow?
I think I will be.
Okay. All right. Jace back on Bonnie and Friends, 8:32. Have yourselves a great day, and stay tuned for the Coffee Club with Janae and Ronnie.